Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Sunday afternoon, everybody, and once again, welcome back to South Bend, Indiana, in Four Winds Field as the Quad Cities River Bandits wrap up their final series of the season against the South Bend Cubs, the High A affiliate of the Chicago Cubs. As always, Kyle Kirchival joining you from the broadcast booth. Wherever you're tuned in from today, thanks so much for being here for a rare Sunday afternoon rubber match. Quad Cities trying to pick up where they left off yesterday and pick up their second win of the weekend against the Cubs to steal this three-game series. As is always the case during our Sunday pregame show, we'll kick things off with this week's edition of the Royals Minor League Report. You get to hear from the voices of all four Royals full-season minor league affiliates. We've got all the news, notes, highlights, everything you need to know to stay kept up with all things Royals Farm. So, without further ado, I send it to AAA Omaha and the voice of the Storm Chasers, Nicholas Batters.
This is the Royals Minor League Report, presented by Raising Royals. AAA Omaha.
Coming out of the All-Star break, the Omaha Storm Chasers split the first two games of a three-game series with the Indianapolis Indians, falling to the Pittsburgh AAA affiliate Friday night 8-1 with a bounce-back win Saturday night 7-4. While the 2024 Storm Chasers are not defined by the long ball, it sure has played a big role in the team's success this year, including four homers in the first two games of the weekend series. Cam Devaney tied John Ray for the team lead with his 15th long ball of the year Saturday, and Brian O'Keefe connected for his 12th homer of the season as well on Saturday. But the big blast in that winning effort was Rodolfo Duran's first home run in a Chasers uniform.
Bases loaded, one out. Bottom of the sixth inning. A pitch. Whack to left. Hit well. Grab and go. It's Graham. A grand slam to left field by Rodolfo Duran as the Storm Chasers on top for the first time tonight. 6-4 at the bottom of the sixth inning.
In a wonderful turn of events, maybe Omaha's worst hitter in the first half has become the team's best bat in the second half. Since June 11th, Tyler Gentry is hitting .353 with a .1019 OPS. He's collected 14 extra base hits and driven in 15 runs over a 28-game stretch. And catcher Brian O'Keefe has had a July to remember. He's reached base in 18 of 28 plate appearances with 10 runs batted in just 7 games so far this month. Following an off day Monday, the Storm Chasers hit the road for 2 weeks. Coming up first, a series at CHS Field against the St. Paul Saints, the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. From Warner Park in Papillion, Nebraska, for the Omaha Storm Chasers, I'm Nick Batters.
AA Northwest Arkansas.
The Nationals came out of the All-Star break a game below 500 at 43-44 for the year and 8-10 in the second half, ready to take on the Dodgers affiliate, the Tulsa Drillers, for the final time in 2024 with a three-game set at Arbus Ballpark. Northwest Arkansas lit up the Drillers Friday, blasting three homers and a 7-2 win, but it was Peyton Wilson and Carter Jensen who stole the show. Jensen made his Double-A debut in the game and hit his first Double-A home run in his second at bat, a towering fly ball that easily cleared the right field fence.
Hammers this one high in the air to deep right field. Keith ranging back at the track, at the wall, and it's gone. Second Double-A at bat, and Carter Jensen has his first Double-A home run.
Peyton Wilson followed up with a homer of his own, going back-to-back to give the Naturals the lead. Later in the ninth, with the game already at hand, Wilson went deep again, posting his second multi-homer night of the season and of his career. Jacob Wallace has been nails out of the bullpen, and that continued Friday as well. Already hasn't allowed a run over his last eight appearances, totaling 13 in the third innings, while earning a .38 whip and striking out 19 in that stretch. Saturday, the Naturals were shut out by Tulsa, but Steven Zoback was the shining star in his second appearance for the Naturals out of the bullpen. The righty came out of the pen and over four innings tied his career high with eight strikeouts. The only runner he allowed on base was a hit batter. That was the second man he faced. NWA starts up a six-game series with the Arkansas Travelers Tuesday as the homestand continues. From Arbus Ballpark in Springdale, Arkansas, with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, I'm Sean Murray.
High A Quad Cities.
Resuming action after the All-Star break, the Quad Cities River Bandits traveled to Four Winds Field for a three-game series in their final set of the season against the South Bend Cubs. While Friday's series opener would end in an 8-1 defeat, the contest's silver lining was former second-round pick Ben Hernandez, who tossed a perfect inning of relief in his high-A debut. With the right-hander making his way to the Midwest League, Quad Cities has now rostered all six of Kansas City's 2020 draft picks at some point during the club's four-year history as a Royals affiliate. Saturday's contest fared much better for the Bats and saw the River Bandits overcome two separate deficits for an 8-7 victory in extras. Spencer Nivens led the comeback effort at the plate and extended his season best on base streak to 10 games with an RBI triple to help tie the game in the top of the ninth, before Ben Sears worked out of a bases-loaded jam and stranded the game-winning run at third in the bottom half. Sears has the sign from Hernandez. 1-2. Blooper towards left center field. Dustin Dickerson makes the catch. It ends the inning. Ben Sears escapes the danger in the ninth and will need extras on this Saturday night at Four Winds Field. After Sunday's rubber match, the River Bandits return to Modern Woodman Park to begin a six-game set against the Cedar Rapids Colonels. With the Quad Cities River Bandits, I'm Kyle Kercheval.
Single A Columbia.
Rain, rain, and more rain has been the story of the last few weeks for the Columbia Fireflies. After having 3 of 7 contests affected by rain after July 4th, Columbia was finally able to play Saturday at Segra Park. The Fireflies were swept in a doubleheader 7-2 and 5-1 against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, but some themes have carried over after the break. Josh Hansel worked his second start of the season in Game 2 and spun a season-long 4 frames while allowing just 1 earned run. The 6-6 righty has allowed just 1 earned run over his last 10 in the third innings. That's spanning his last 3 outings for the Fireflies. Of course, it makes it easier to throw strong outings when the defense is working well behind you, like here when Eric Pena robbed Dylan Granadillo of extra bases in Game 2 Saturday.
Off pitch. Fastball hit deep to right field. Pena chases it back at the track to the wall. He leaps and he holds on. What a catch from Eric Pena for the first out of the inning. The entire infield tips their cap.
The Fireflies stay at Segra Park and welcome the Lynchburg Hillcats to Columbia for the first time in franchise history starting Tuesday. From Columbia, I'm John Kosas.
This has been the Royals Minor League Report, presented by Raising Royals. Follow Raising Royals, the official account of Royals player development, on X, Instagram, and TikTok for highlights, profiles, and more.
With that, we welcome you back inside Four Winds Field here in South Bend. Kyle Kercheval rejoining you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. As always, a shout-out to the tremendous play-by-play voices throughout the Royals minor league system. Thanks to Nick, Sean, and John for helping me put that together every week. It's always a pleasure to bring you the latest news from around the Royals farm system. Here in South Bend, Quad Cities, the high A affiliate, looking to pick up a 3-game series win in a Sunday afternoon rubber match. It's a rarity. It's just the second rubber match of the season for Quad Cities, and it happens to be their second against the South Bend Cubs. The last time the Bandits played a series deciding Game 3 was against South Bend on April 7th at Modern Woodman Park. That was Game 3 of the season. Quad Cities wound up shutting out the Cubs 4-0 to take the opening weekend set. They'll try to do so this afternoon in Michiana. Let's go ahead and jump right into the starting lineups for this rubber match. First, for the South Bend Cubs, the high-A affiliate of the Chicago Cubs. They, of course, are managed by Nick Lovello and enter the game 34-55 overall and 7-16 in the second half. That is 8.5 games back of first place Wisconsin. Leading off for the Cubs, it's the dangerous center fielder Brett Bateman. Batting second at the DH spot, it's Jefferson Rojas. And batting third at second base, it's Pedro Ramirez. Ethan Hearn will handle the cleanup duties and play catcher for the Cubs. Ed Howard's over at short, batting fifth. And batting sixth in right field, Rafael Morel. Brian Kalmer will be back at first base for South Bend, batting seventh. Jordan Wogu, again in left field, batting eighth. And batting ninth over at third base, it's Ravaj Garcia. On the mound for the Cubs, it's the 24-year-old right-hander from Dallas, Texas, Grant Kipp, who will toe the slab for just the third time this season and for the second time in a starting capacity. Kipp is going to make his second appearance of the year against Quad Cities. He opened up this season against the Bandits in Davenport on April 6th and pitched pretty well, gave up just 2 runs in 4 innings and struck out 5, but he got injured during that start and would not pitch for almost 2 months. Kipp going back to work in the end of June, spending some time rehabbing in the Arizona Complex League, and then back on July 12th before the All-Star break, he worked out of the bullpen for South Bend, pitched 2 innings in his return to action, didn't give up a hit, but gave up 2 runs thanks to 4 walks. And tonight, he'll make his third start consecutively against Quad Cities if you go back to 2023. A little more on Kipp later. Now it's time for the starting lineup for the Quad Cities River Bandits, the high-A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. The lineup card put together by Brooks Conrad will have Jared Dickey in right field batting leadoff for the first time this season. Dustin Dickerson bats second and plays short. And batting third, it's the center fielder Carson Rockeford. Trevor Werner is the DH, batting fourth. Spencer Nivens is in left field, hitting fifth. And at first base, batting sixth, it's Chris Brito. Justin Johnson will play second base and bat seventh. Davies Nadal makes his series debut, batting eighth and playing third. And batting ninth, making his return to the River Bandits lineup for the first time in a year, the catcher Kyle Hayes. On the mound for the River Bandits, it's the 23-year-old righty from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Ethan Bosacker, who makes his second appearance and second start as a River Bandit. Bosacker opened the year in the Carolina League with Single-A Columbia and was fantastic. He went 6-2 with a 2.78 ERA and 15 total appearances and got off to a tremendous start with his high A career on July 13th over at Modern Woodman Park. Bosacker gave up just 1 run in 5 1/3, wound up taking the loss, but enters today with a 1.69 ERA in the Midwest League. Time for today's national anthem. When we return, we'll close down the pregame show and have first pitch for Game 3 of this weekend series. A rubber match edition of River Bandits Baseball is coming your way next.
Singing the Star Spangled Banner this afternoon is Jeff Kramer.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming,
And the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land and the home of the brave.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Kramer. Fans, in order to get this game started, we need a little help from today's supervisor. There's Chris Hagstrom.
Thanks a lot, JT. I've got Jasmine here with the most famous words in baseball on the count of three. One, two, three.
Play ball!
Back to you, JT.
All right, thank you, sir. Families across Michiana are enjoying Studebaker Golf Course.
River Bandits Baseball is back on the air for the final time this summer from Four Winds Field in South Bend, Indiana. Quad Cities wrapping up a short three-game weekend series with a Sunday matinee rubber match. Bandits winners 8-7 in 10 innings yesterday. A terrific comeback win has set them up for a series victory today should they claim this final contest. Once again, Kyle Kirchville welcoming you into the broadcast booth. Thanks so much for joining us on what's a beautiful Sunday afternoon in Michiana. Mother Nature's been great to us here in Indiana this weekend. First pitch temperature today clocking in at an even 80 degrees with partly cloudy skies and just a slight breeze blowing out to center field. On the mound for South Bend, getting the start in this series finale, it's the Cubs' 24-year-old right-hander Grant Kipp, who has spent much of the season on the injured list but returns to action to face Quad Cities for the third time in his last four appearances going back to 2023. Kipp, 24 years old, a native of Dallas, Texas. He played his college ball at Yale and was the only undrafted free agent signed by Chicago back in 2022. He's worked his way up to high A in the Cubs farm system. Top third of the order to face him today will be comprised of Jared Dickey, Dustin Dickerson, and Carson Rockefort. A bit of an unusual trio, but with Jack Pineda getting a day off, Brooks Conrad shaking up the card a bit. Once again, the Cubs in those Marvel-inspired threads, as we saw yesterday, and it's back in the road grays for the series finale. Kipp works out of the windup, Jared Dickey's in the batter's box, and the first pitch of the ball game is lined foul down the first baseline for strike one. Officially underway today at 2:06 Eastern Time. Jared Dickey, as I mentioned in the pregame show, hitting leadoff for the first time this season. 0-1, taken for a strike at the knees, nothing and two. Dickey was 1-for-4 with an RBI single. He's also hit by a pitch yesterday. Kipp's 0-2. Slider called strike three. That's a great start for Grant Kipp. He gets Dickey looking at a slider. And after just three pitches, Kipp's got a K and out number one in the first inning. Jared Dickey frozen on a slider. It found the lower half of the strike zone. And with the bases clear, here's the shortstop, Dustin Dickerson. Right on right. Kipp hoists the glove up, delivers home, and misses outside with a fastball. Justin Hopkins is calling balls and strikes this afternoon while his partner Jabril Jeter Abdullah patrols the base paths. 1-0. Fastball popped in the air towards shallow right field. The Cubs second baseman Ramirez ranging out, and in the shallow grass he makes the catch for out number two. A strikeout and a pop-up to begin the game for Kipp. And with two gone, here's Carson Rockefort. Dickey is hitting leadoff for the first time this season. Rock is hitting third for just the second time. Normally he's somebody you'll find in the middle third of the lineup card. First pitch from Kipp. Breaking ball finds the outer half for strike one. Rock has had a slow month of July, batting just 149 with strikeouts in 9 consecutive games. 0-1, down and outside, 1-1. Yesterday, though, he started the game 0-for-4, but in the 10th inning, drove in a key RBI single to help the Bandits get the 8-7 win. 1-1. Line drive through the left side, a base hit. It splits Garcia and Howard, and the Bandits have a two-out base runner. Nice swing from Carson Rockefeller. Kip left 92 right down the middle. And the Bandits center fielder slaps it into left for a single.
Number 22, Trevor Werner. The River Bandits.
So the Bandits avoid a 1-2-3 start to the ball game and extend the inning for their DH today. Trevor Werner, corner infielder, getting a break from the defensive duties. First pitch from Kip at the knees for a called strike one. As I mentioned, for Grant, this is just his 6th appearance of the season. Most of that time spent in Arizona. 0-1, runner takes off, pitch low and away, throw to second, will not get Rockefeller. He slides in safely with a head first dive. Rockefeller with his 25th stolen base of the season. He is top 10 in the league in that category. Bandits stole a couple of bases to help propel the offense yesterday. They'll try to do so again today as the next pitch to Werner misses inside, a fastball at 91. And it's 2-1. Werner had a 4-game hit streak snapped yesterday, but was hit by a pitch in the 9th inning to extend an on-base streak to 5 games. 2-1, down and away with a breaking ball, 3-1. And during this 5-game stretch, Werner's batting .353 with just 1 strikeout in 17 at-bats. He came into the game yesterday, having not struck out in his previous 4 games, which was the largest strikeout list streak for Werner in his career. 3-1, shot foul over the first base dugout. The count runs full. Bandits have a man at second with 2 outs in the top of the first. Still just getting underway with today's rubber match. New baseball in hand for Grant Kipp, who works from the first base side of the rubber. He takes a peek over at Rock as he comes set. 3-2 pitch is a fastball taken for strike three. Werner watches it go right down the middle at an even 90 miles per hour. Brent Kipp bookends a scoreless first inning with a couple of strikeouts. He strands Rockefeller's 2-out single, and the Bandits now send Ethan Bosacker to the hill for the bottom of the first. Scoreless through 1/2 inning on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Second time in a River Bandits uniform, Ethan Bosacker takes the mound. Right-hander will get Brett Bateman, Jefferson Rojas, and Pedro Ramirez here in the bottom of the first inning. Quad City's got a two-out single from Carson Rockefeller in their half of the frame, but failed to score him. First pitch to Bateman. He shows bunt, but pulls back and takes high and away for ball one. Brett Bateman with another terrific performance against Quad Cities yesterday. Went 1-for-4 with a single, a couple of walks, and a stolen base. Bo Sackers, 1-0 pitch. Fastball down the middle, a called strike one. The arsenal for Ethan consists of both a four-seam and two-seam fastball, a changeup, a slider, and a curveball. Here's the 1-1. Two-seam heater for a called strike two. He is 23 years old, stands on the hill at 6'2", 210 pounds, and is a native of Minneapolis, Minnesota, the same home state as Bateman. 1-2 pitch. High fly towards left field, pretty deep, but Nivens, ranging back, camps underneath it and makes the catch above his head for out number one. As I mentioned during the River Bandits pregame show, Bo Sacker comes into today after a terrific high A debut last week against Peoria. Before the All-Star break, he would wind up taking the loss, but he gave up just one run in 5 1/3 innings. Gave up six hits and a couple of walks, but struck out four and looked really good. Now he gets Jefferson Rojas and starts him with a fastball on the outer edge for a called strike one. Rojas, normally at shortstop, but he's serving as Nick Lovello's DH today. 0-1. Slider ripped foul into the Bandits' bullpen. Brooks Conrad sets up his defense with Carson Rockefeller in center field. The aforementioned Nivens in left, Dickey's in right. Dickerson's your shortstop with Johnson at second, Nadal at third, Brito at first, Kyle Hayes doing the catching. 0-2 pitch to Rojas, misses outside for ball one. With Hayes getting the start behind the plate today, he's the third starting catcher for Quad Cities this year. Another two-strike pitch. Rojas cues it towards the first base on deck circle. He's the only man other than Carter Jensen and, of course, Omar Hernandez to serve as the Bandits catcher this year. He's actually with Quad Cities for the third time in his career. Another 1-2 to Rojas. Check swing. Pitch was down and away. No appeal. And it is ball two. Nice little changeup from Bosacker around the low outside corner, but Rojas lays off. Ethan tries out of the wind again. The pitch. Fastball lined into the glove of Dickerson, who makes the catch at short. A little bit of a hop as he squeezed the baseball. It probably wasn't totally necessary, but you only have so much time to react over at shortstop on a play like that. So Dickerson puts away the second out, and it brings up Pedro Ramirez with the bases clear. Switch hitting second baseman, of course, batting left against the righty. First pitch from Bo Sacker is right down the middle for strike one. Fastball at an even 90. Ramirez, one of three Cubs' top 30 prospects in the lineup today. 0-1, line drive towards short again, this time past Dickerson into left center field. Rockefeller throws it in towards second base. And just as the Bandits had in their half of the first inning, the Cubs pick up a two-out base runner.
Now batting the Cubs catcher, number nine,
Pedro now with a five-game on-base streak. Hitless yesterday, but drew a walk. And in his first plate appearance today, he sends one into left center field for a base hit. So two outs and a man on for Ethan Hearn, the left-handed hitting catcher. Bo Sacker into the stretch, first pitch. Fouled out of play on the left side. Hearn did not play yesterday. On Friday, though, got the start in the series opener. Went 1-for-4 with an RBI triple. He's got hits in three of his last four games. Bo Sacker sets at the belt. Here's the 0-1. Breaking ball left high. One ball and one strike. The triple for Ethan, his first of the season. But he already had six doubles and four home runs under his belt in his first 44 games this year. 1-1. Chopper foul to the right side. One ball, two strikes. Bo Sacker's strikeout numbers in Columbia, around seven strikeouts per nine innings. Hit 59 in just over 74 frames. Much like former Bandit Steven Zoback, a guy who fills up the strike zone. 1-2. Fly ball towards right center field. Long run, Jared Dickey reaching out. He can't get to it. It bounces towards the warning track. Ramirez gets the wave around third base. Johnson's throw will not come to the plate. And Ethan Hearn doubles in Pedro Ramirez. It's 1-0 South Bend here in the first. Cubs have now scored the opening run in back-to-back ball games, and today they do so with two outs. Pitch from Bosacker was on the low outside corner, a changeup that was moving away from Hearn, and he was still able to barrel it up, reaching out over the plate and lining it into right center field. So two outs and a man at second now for Ed Howard. Right on right, first pitch. Swing and a miss on the fastball. Ethan Hearn picking up his second RBI of the series and his 17th of the season. That was double number 7. Bosacker looks to second, the 0-1. Down and outside on the slider, 1-1. Ethan gave up just one run in his high A debut back on July 13th. That was against Peoria. 1-1. Fastball pops the glove of Hayes, but misses low and inside for ball two. He did not allow that run until his final inning. Bosacker had started the game with 5 scoreless frames, but then one out into the sixth. He gave up an RBI single to Chris Rotondo, which ended his day. 2-1, chopper foul to the left side. Nick Lavella will pick it up and throw it into the seats. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Howard. Ed was the starting second baseman for South Bend yesterday, but was ejected, arguing balls and strikes with Jabril Jeter-Abdullah in the second inning. Ravaj Garcia finished out the game for Lavella at second base. The 2-2 pitch. Slider dribbled to the right side, picked up by Chris Brito. He'll take it to the bag himself to end the inning. South Bend with the opening punch landed in the first. An RBI double from Ethan Hearn makes it 1-0 South Bend. We go to the second on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
South Bend Cubs have the first lead in today's rubber match. They're in front of Quad Cities 1-0 after a 2-out RBI double from Ethan Hearn in the bottom of the first. Back to work goes Grant Kipp, South Bend starter. He'll get Spencer Nivens, Chris Brito, and Justin Johnson for Quad Cities in the second inning. Right on left, Nivens in the box, ready to go. Kipp delivers. First pitch fastball is high and outside. Kipp picked up a couple of strikeouts in the first inning. His 1-0 to Nivens. A curveball taken for strike one on the low inside corner. He gave up a 2-out single to Carson Rockefort, who just a couple of pitches later would steal his way to second base, but Kipp punched out Werner to end the threat. 1-1. Wave and a miss. A fastball in the low 90s. It is 1-2. Spencer Niven started the game 0-for-3 yesterday, but then came through with a clutch RBI triple in the ninth inning to help tie the game before delivering an RBI single in the 10th to help win it. 1-2. Another breaking ball. This one grounded down the first baseline, fair, and towards the corner. Niven's around first base. Morrell chases it into the corner, and Niven's will have an easy stand-up double. Hits in three straight at-bats for the former Missouri State Bear, and he gives the Bandits an early man in scoring position to begin the second. Niven's has now reached safely in 11 straight ball games. It's the longest active on-base streak for any River Bandits hitter. He's got 10 hits, 8 walks, and 5 RBIs in his last 11 games. Productive in so many different ways at the plate for Quad Cities. So, tying run at second, and nobody out for Chris Brito. Right on right, Kip into the stretch. First pitch breaking ball lifted towards left center field. Bateman has room in the alley. He'll make the catch and fire it towards third. Niven's tags up and will advance successfully. The throw to third a bit offline. Brito got a good pitch to hit. Kip left a breaking ball at 79 right down the middle. And Brito took the correct approach going towards right center field. Opposite way for him, but a little bit underneath it for the out. Nonetheless, Niven's 90 feet away from tying the ball game. And with one away, Justin Johnson will try to bring him home. First baseman Calmer playing in over on the right side. First pitch. Now the breaking ball from Kip. This one lands low and outside for ball one. Johnson was in the lineup yesterday for Quad Cities and reached in half of his 4 plate appearances. Hit 1-for-3 with a single and a walk. Also stole his 10th base of the year. 1-0. Fastball drilled high in the air, deep left center field. Bateman back into the alley. He'll make the catch. That's plenty deep enough to score Niven's, who trots home to tie the game. Nice piece of hitting from Justin Johnson. It's 1-1 in the second. JJ drives in his 12th run of the year. Bandits quickly manufacture the game-tying run, much as they did yesterday. Cubs took a 1-0 lead in the second, and in the top of the third, the Bandits not only tied the game, but took a 3-1 lead. 2 outs, bases clear now for Davies Nadal, who will take a strike on the outer half. Davies making his series debut today, playing in his 35th game for Quad Cities this summer. Right on left, the 0-1. Breaking ball brushes up on the outer half of the zone for a called strike two. Davies is just 1-for-11 in the month of July, batting 151 on the season. Kip delivers the 0-2. Fastball misses high and away. Nadal lays off. He's getting the start at third base today, playing there for the 11th time this season. The utility man has spent most of his games in left field. 23 of his 34 contests have been there. 1-2. Another fastball high and away. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Nadal with 1 homer and 6 driven in this year. He also has 3 triples to his name. The pitch. Breaking ball slipped high and outside. It's a full count. 2 of Nadal's 3 triples came against South Bend. Hit 2 of them in these teams' first 6-game series in Davenport back in April. 2 outs, nobody on. Payoff pitch to Nadal. Popped him up. This is behind home plate. Ethan Hearn sheds the mask, navigating towards the screen, reaches up at the gate, and can't make the catch. The ball bounces off the frame of the metal gate behind home, and Hearn can't make a play. That's unfortunate for him because he was right there. If the ball was an inch or two closer to the playing surface, he would have had no problem making the squeeze, but with the metal piping protruding out from the net just a slight bit, the baseball caught it and popped away. So Nadal back in the box. Kip fires another 3-2, and it misses low for ball 4. Good at-bat from Davies Nadal. He draws a 2-out walk to extend the inning.
Number 19, the catcher.
So the former Pirates farmhand finds his way on, and it brings up the catcher, Kyle Hayes, who is playing in his first full season action since he was with Northwest Arkansas back in September of last year. He's been rostered throughout this season, but not by Quad Cities. Right on right, Kip fires DeHaze, and he takes down and away for ball one. Kyle, a 26-year-old catcher from Falls Church, Virginia, opened the season on AAA Omaha's roster and was more or less serving as their bullpen catcher for the first month of the year until Kyle went down with an oblique injury. 1-0. Broken bat liner towards second base. The second baseman Ramirez picks it up, throws to first base, and ends the inning. Quad Cities, though, ties it up in the second. A sack fly from Justin Johnson makes it 1-1. To the bottom of two we go on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Bottom of the second getting underway here at Four Winds Field. Quad Cities and South Bend facing each other for the final time this season. Cubs took a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first on an Ethan Hearn RBI double, but Quad Cities started the second with a Spencer Nivens double. And a couple batters later, Justin Johnson would bring him home with a sack fly to knot it up at one. Rafael Morel begins the bottom of the second at the plate for South Bend and takes the first pitch from Ethan Bosacker upstairs for ball one. Right on right, the former Xavier Musketeer kicks and fires. And the fastball's just slowing away, 2-0. Cubs have three straight right-handed hitters due up. Morel, Calmer, and Wogu. That's 6, 7, and 8 on the lineup guard. Bosacker works out of the windup. Here's the 2-0. Wave and a miss. Rafael missed on a slider above the zone. It's 2-1. He is in the midst of just a tremendous stretch right now, having reached safely in each of his last 8 plate appearances, going back to before the All-Star break. 2-1 fastball, down and away, 3-1. He kept that string of reaches going yesterday in big-time fashion. Went 2-for-2 with a single, a double, 2 walks and a hit by pitch. He also scored 2 of the Cubs' runs. 3-1, fouled off the mask of Hayes. And home plate umpire Justin Hopkins will give him a second to take the mask off and adjust his catcher's helmet, which became askew after impact. Morel back in the box. Hayes ready to go. 3-2 pitch on the way. High drive, left field, but higher than it is deep. Spencer Nivens takes a couple of steps back but makes a chest-high grab to retire Morel for out number one. So Ethan Bosacker begins the second just as he did the first with a fly ball. One out, nobody on for Brian Calmer, the Cubs' first baseman. Brian, 23 years old from Phoenix, Arizona, hit seventh and played first yesterday for Nick Lovello. First pitch swinging today, he pops one up to shallow right field. Second baseman Justin Johnson goes out. He calls off Chris Brito, and makes the catch, heading towards the chalk for out number two. High fly ball and a high pop-up for the first two outs in the bottom of the second. Bosacker now goes after Jordan Wogu. A couple of quick outs for Ethan, who will oftentimes get that just thanks to how often he throws strikes. First pitch. Wogu takes down and away for ball one. He put his strike-throwing prowess on display as early as his high A debut last week. 1-0. Swing and a miss on the slider, 1-1. Against Peoria back on July 13th, Bosacker threw 82 pitches, 59 went for a strike. 1-1 coming home. Fastball, low and in, 2-1. That's a 72% strike rate, which, as I mentioned earlier, is very similar to the way Steven Zoback attacks hitters. 2-1, that's a breaking ball left up and smashed to deep left field. Nivens is going to watch it sail over the fence. Jordan Wogu, now with five hits in his last nine at-bats. That solo shot marks his sixth of the season and gives the Cubs a 2-1 lead in the second. Well, that was the first bad pitch that Bosacker has thrown today. He left 84 right down the middle, and Wogu did not miss it. 107 off the bat, deep to left field. So now here's Reyvaj Garcia. The pitch from Bosacker is a fastball chopped on the ground to second. Two hops for Johnson. He gloves, throws over to Brito, and ends the inning. But not before the Cubs retake the lead. The solo shot from Wogu makes it 2-1 South Bend going to the third.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. Just as Quad Cities tied it up in the top of the second inning, South Bend back in front after the bottom half. A solo shot off the barrel of Jordan Wogu has given the Cubs a 2-1 lead. Top of the third underway on a beautiful afternoon in South Bend. Kyle Kirchville rejoining you here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Bandits will have the top third of their lineup due up against Grant Kipp, the Cubs starter. He's given up a walk and a couple of hits, plus a run through his first two innings, but does have two strikeouts. He gets Jared Dickey for the second time in the ballgame and throws a breaking ball that Dickey swings over the top of for strike one. Dickey, Dickerson, Rockefort to bat in this inning, 0-1. Another breaking ball, this time a called strike at the base of the zone. That sweeping slider at 82 miles per hour. Dickey will use his batter timeout to examine the middle of his stick. Now he takes a deep breath with a couple of steps back into the box. Kipp gets the sign from Hearn. Here's the 0-2. High fly, deep right field, going back Morrell at the fence. It is gone! Quad City strikes with a blast of its own. And today it's Jared Dickey tying the game up with his eighth blast of the season. An even 100 miles per hour off the bat, the former Tennessee Volunteer stays red hot. That is his second home run during what's now a four-game hit streak. His eighth blast of the year gives him his 39th RBI and gives us another fresh canvas. First pitch to Dustin Dickerson, fouled out of play for strike one. That is Quad City's first home run since before the All-Star break. 0-1. Down and away with a slider. One ball, one strike. And that home run, the most recent one before Dickey's bomb today, was hit by Jared Dickey on July 14th in Davenport. 1-1. Tapper softly hit to the left side. Shortstop Howard picks it up and throws to first. One shortstop grounds out to another for out number one.
Number 14, Carson Rockefort.
So Dickerson 0-2 to start the game. He finds the glove of Ed Howard. And now here's Carson Rockefort. Right on left. Kip has his side. Here's the pitch. A swing from Rocky. Fouls it to the right side. That is the first home run that Grant Kipp has allowed this year. Only gave up 10 in almost 100 innings, split between high and single A last year. 0-1. Fastball just low, maybe a tad inside. It evens the count at 1-1. Rockefort with the Bandits' first hit of the game, a single in the first. 1-1. Now he drives one through the right side for another base hit. Carson Rockefort, 2-for-2 with a pair of singles. His first one split short and third. This one splits second and first. Now Carson Rockefort, who as I detailed, has struggled in the month of July, has began his contest today with a couple of base hits, netting him his 14th multi-knock game of the season. One on, one out for Trevor Werner. He'll take a fastball low for ball one. We're only in the top of the third inning today. The game has a combined 4 runs and 7 hits, including 2 homers after each of the first 2 games didn't include any blasts. 1-0 pitch inside off the glove of Hearn and towards the backstop. Rockefort will take second base without a throw. That'll be a wild pitch charged to Grant Kipp, his first of the season. It was a fastball very high and inside. Werner was able to lean out of the way. And now he has an opportunity to give Quad Cities its first lead of the game with Rock in scoring position at second and just one out. Kipp delivers. Curveball down and away, blocked by Hearn. It is 3-0. Werner was a strikeout victim in the first inning. Took a called strike 3 at 90 miles per hour right down the middle. See if he maybe has the green light here in a 3-0 count with the way Kipp's been throwing. He delivers. And Werner's going to take strike 1. That was a little spinner that landed at the top of the zone. Second baseman Ramirez keeps tabs on Rockefort at second base. Kipp looks that way. Now the 3-1. Breaking ball bounced over to third. Picked on the backhand by Garcia. Long throw to first is in time. Werner's retired for the out. And Rockefort stays stuck at second base. Werner did not get a bad pitch to hit. Got a curveball middle in, but more in than it was middle. Werner a bit out in front. Tapped it over to Garcia for the second out. So now here's Spencer Nivens trying to come through yet again. First pitch, that's driven towards right field. Morrell to his left, he can't get there and plays it on a hop. Here comes Rock around third, he scores, and Spencer Nivens has himself another hit. Quad Cities takes a 3-2 lead. Spencer Nivens with four hits in five of the last six innings he's played in. A double in the second, now an RBI single in the third. He picks up his 19th RBI of the season, and Quad Cities takes a two-out lead. Inning extended now for Chris Brito, who looks to get in on the fun. Right on right, Kip delivers, fastball runs in and clips Brito on the left arm. It hit him somewhere around the elbow pad, and before Kip can even get the ball back from Ethan Hearn, pitching coach Bruce Billings jogs out to the hill, trying to settle down his right-hander. Quad Cities has four base runners in this inning, three hits and a hit batsman. Brito now with a bruise, but also a seven-game on-base streak. He's just one for his last 10 at the plate, but his on-base percentage is right around 400 thanks to all the walks he's been able to drop. Today he's hit by a pitch for the first time wearing a River Bandits uniform. So after Billings parts ways with the battery and some of the Cubs infield, which joined the conversation, Kip will go to work against Justin Johnson. Cubs do not have anybody warming up in the bullpen. Kip has thrown 46 pitches in 2 2/3 innings, given up three runs on five hits, a walk, and a hit batsman. Here's the pitch to JJ. Johnson pops it up. This one's going to get out of play over the netting on the right side for strike one. Johnson tied the game up at one in the top of the second inning. His sack fly scored Spencer Nivens, who doubled to begin the frame. He then moved up to third on a deep fly ball hit by Chris Brito. And Johnson swung and hit a deep fly ball of his own to score the run. A one. Fastball outside. Back pick to first. It goes sailing into right field. Nivens gets up to third base and will stop there. Brito slides safely into second base. Morrell's throw from right, not in time. Ethan Hearn trying to throw behind Chris Brito and catch him off guard, but the throw was nowhere close. Calmer didn't even get a glove on it. The ball was a good 4 or 5 feet away from him and went straight towards Morrell in right field. That's going to be an E2 on Hearn. The Bandits with now a really juicy two-out RBI opportunity. Nivens at third. Brito at second base. 1-1 to Johnson. Down and away, blocked by Hearn. Nivens slams on the brakes at third and dives back into the bag. No throw from the catcher, who stared him back down. Nivens saw that ball in the dirt early on and took a couple of hard steps towards the plate, but Ethan immediately found the loose ball. It ricocheted off his glove towards the left side. And as he got to it quick, Nivens hightailed it back to the bag. 2-1 count for Justin Johnson. Kip deals. Fastball popped off the end of the bat, foul over the first base dugout, and it's 2-2. Quad Cities feels like it is on the verge of busting this one open. Kip has lost his command almost entirely here in the third inning. He's trying to strand two men in scoring position with two outs. 2-2 to Johnson. Check swing. Pitch was high and tight. No appeal down, and it's ball three. Davey Snedall, a left-handed hitter, waits on deck. The Cubs still do not have anybody warming up in the bullpen, although Angel Gonzalez has grabbed the bands and is starting to stretch. Here's the 3-2. Line drive, right center field. That's a base set, and we'll score them both. Nivens is in. Here comes Brito. Throw goes to second, and they won't get Johnson. It's a two-out, two-run double, and Quad Cities now has a 5-2 lead here in the third. It's a four-run inning. Quad Cities scoring three of its runs with two outs. Justin Johnson already with a three RBI performance. And the Bandits have figured out Grant Kipp. Now their eighth hitter of the inning, Davies Nadal, steps in, looking to tack on even more. First pitch, curveball low and inside for ball one. Justin Johnson with three of his season's 14 RBIs coming in the first three innings today. First a sack fly, now the two-run double. 1-0 pitch. Nadal takes low and in. Two balls, no strikes. Davies drew a walk back in the second inning to extend the frame with two outs, but Kyle Hayes would ground out to end any kind of threat. 2-0. Big swing and a miss from Nadal. He comes up empty on the fastball, and it's 2-1. Right-hander Angel Gonzalez has gone from stretching to now stretching and tossing. Wally Soto down to the first base bullpen, catching his throws. 2-1. Outside, three balls and one strike. Grant Kipp now at 56 pitches. 32 have gone for a strike. He's already on the hook for five runs today. 3-1 pitch. Outside, ball four. Inning continues. Davies Nadal with a pair of early walks today. And he'll go ahead and pass the torch to Kyle Hayes. Quad City's nine-hole hitter. Already getting a chance to swing it for the second time in the game, and we're only in the top of the third inning. Kipp twirls the baseball in his right hand as he gets the sign from Hearn and now sets at the chest. A look back to JJ, now the pitch. Fastball is taken down Main Street for strike one. Just mentioning it the first time he was up, Hayes has spent much of the season on the injured list but returned to action a few weeks ago, playing a few games in the Arizona Complex League. He's now back with Quad Cities for the third time in three seasons. 0-1 pitch. Fastball outside, it's 1-1. This is the sixth career game as a Bandit for Kyle Hayes. Spent time in high, double, and triple A over the last couple years. 1-1. Line drive off the glove of Garcia, down the left field line, all the way to the fence. Here comes Johnson. Nadal's right behind him. Hayes has a two-out RBI double. The Bandits now have a six-run inning and a 7-2 lead. Kyle Hayes gets his first hit as a River Bandit. It took 17 at-bats in 3 years. But he helps QC pile on in this massive third inning. And now Nick Lovello asks for time and is forced to make an early pitching change. What a start to the game for Quad Cities. Seven runs on seven hits. And they've scored six of those runs in this third inning. We'll take a pause for the change and rejoin you shortly on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
¶¶
Quad Cities has scored 6 runs here in the third inning and has batted around. Jared Dickey, who started this frame at the plate, back up with a man at second and 2 outs. First pitch from Angel Gonzalez is a fastball on the low inside corner for strike one. Dickey got this whole thing started with a solo shot over the right field wall. And since then, it's been nothing but bandits hits. Gonzalez looks towards second base, the 0-1. Skipping in the dirt, low and inside. Throw goes to second base. Hayes breaks for third. The throw there is going to get him standing up to end the inning. Tough read for Hayes. He thought the ball got past Hearn, but then took off for third base. So that'll end the inning, but Quad Cities up 7-2. Bottom of the third next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Quad Cities puts together 9 at-bats in their half of the third inning, and they have taken a 7-2 lead over South Bend. Bottom of the third underway, a nice big cushion now for Ethan Bosacker. Bandit starter fires a ball to Brett Babin, the Cubs' leadoff man. 1-0 pitch. Line drive towards left, but snagged by Dustin Dickerson. Shortstop reaches out to his right, makes the squeeze, and Bateman is kept off the base pass for the second time in as many at-bats today. Very rarely is Brent Bateman going to start a game 0-2. But Ethan Bosacker has checked that box today, and now he gets Jefferson Rojas right on right. First pitch. Fastball, a swing, and a foul back to the screen for strike one. Now here's how Quad Cities put together that 6-run top of the third. As I mentioned, it all started with the solo homer from Jared Dickey. Picked up his active team best, 8th of the season. 0-1, high and inside. 1-1, 1-1 on Rojas. He lined out to short back in the first. Bosacker has a new sign. He delivers. Breaking ball lifted foul over the right side for strike two. After Dickey's homer, Carson Rockefert singled with one out. Came in to score on an Spencer Nivens RBI single. He has started the night 2-for-2. 1-2 pitch. Fastball down and away. 2-2. Then Chris Brito stepped up and was hit by a pitch. Bandits had runners at second and third. Justin Johnson came through with a 2-run double to keep the party going. Here's the pitch to Rojas. Jack swing, pitch high and tight, appeal down. He went around a swinging strike three, as called by Jabril Cheater-Abdullah. First strikeout of the game for Ethan Bosacker, and there's two away in the bottom of the third. After Johnson's double, Davies Nadal drew a two-out walk. And then Kyle Hayes picked up his first career high A hit with a two-run double. First pitch to Pedro Ramirez. A called strike on the low inside corner. I mentioned Hayes had spent five previous games with Quad Cities between 2022 and 2023. That was his first Bandits hit. And boy, did it come at a fun time. Second pitch to Ramirez. Misses inside for ball one. Pedro has one of the Cubs' three hits with a single in the first. Now he lifts one foul out of play on the left side behind the Bandits' bullpen into the picnic area. Osacker can pitch with quite a bit of confidence now after giving up a run in each of the first two innings. Ethan Hearn tagged him for a two-out RBI double in the first, and then Jordan Wogu hit a titanic solo blast in the second. Two outs, nobody on. Ramirez back in the box. Osacker with the 1-2 pitch. Sharply hit past the diving Johnson into right field. Pedro Ramirez off to a 2-for-2 start today. The Cubs' number 12 prospect not interested in giving Bosacker a clean inning. Cubs now have all four of their hits with two outs today. Ethan just can't quite get that final man. So the inning extends for Ethan Hearn, who took advantage of Ramirez's two-out single in the first with the aforementioned RBI double. First pitch swing, and he fouls one into the glove of Kyle Hayes for strike one. Hearn, 23 years old, from Mobile, Alabama, a sixth-round pick out of high school back in 2019. One of three catchers on this South Bend roster. We've seen him all this week. 0-1. Low and inside. One ball, one strike. He was the only Cubs catcher who didn't play yesterday. In fact, he was the only position player who did not come in at some point during last night's 10-inning contest. Bosacker out of the stretch, the 1-1. Wave and a miss. A good changeup off the low outside corner, and it's 1-2. Time called by Hearn. Quad Cities has a 7-2 lead here in the bottom of the third inning. Seven runs on seven hits, including three doubles and a Jared Dickey solo bomb. Hearn is back in the box. Bosacker with ball in hand. Here's the 1-2. He got him. Swing and a miss on the slider. That ends the inning. A couple of strikeouts in the first scoreless frame of the night for Ethan Bosacker. The Bandits will take that 7-2 lead to the fourth here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Time in the last two innings, Jared Dickey comes to the plate, this time to start the fourth. Right-hander Angel Gonzalez remains on the hill for South Bend. First pitch, Dickey takes outside for ball one. He led off the third with a solo homer. Then later in that frame came back to the plate with Kyle Hayes at second and two outs. But Hayes was picked off and caught stealing third to end the inning while Dickey was at the plate. So he gets a redo and swings through a 1-0 fastball that was high for strike one. Gonzalez came in to face Dickey as Hayes was picked off and caught stealing to end the last inning. 1-1. Low and outside, 2-1. So although he didn't really do anything, he gets credit for a third of an inning and closes the book on Cubs starter Grant Kipp, who inches 2 2/3 today. The 2-1. Check swing. Pitch was in the dirt. Did he go? Yes, he did. It's a swinging strike is called on the appeal by Jabril Jeter-Abdullah. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Final line for Kipp. 2 2/3, 7 runs allowed, all earned. On 7 hits, 2 walks, a hit batsman, and 2 strikeouts. He threw 34 of 60 total pitches for a strike. Angel Gonzalez making his 23rd appearance of the year out of the Cubs' bullpen. Delivers the 2-2 to Dickey. Ground ball to the right side. Reaching out. Ramirez makes the stop. Spins. Throws to first. And retires Dickey for out number one. Jared almost poked that one through the right side. Instead, he trots back to the dugout. And Dustin Dickerson steps back towards home plate. Per usual, Dickerson decked out in all the appropriate accoutrement. Batting gloves, a gray arm sleeve, an elbow, and a shin guard. Gonzalez kicks and fires. First pitch fastball outside off the glove of Hearn into the backstop. Angels had a tough year for South Bend. 2-4 with a 7.76 ERA. However, his month of June was by far his best month of the year. 1-0. Fly ball towards shallow center field. Bateman got a late jump, but it doesn't really matter. He just has to take a couple of steps in, and he makes the catch to retire Dusty for the second out. In June, Gonzalez made 7 relief appearances for South Bend and gave up just 2 earned runs in 9 1/3 innings. That's an ERA of 1.93. But since the calendar is flipped to July, he's struggled, giving up 4 earned in 3 2/3. 2 outs, nobody aboard for Rockefeller. First pitch, swing and a miss on a fastball. But even though he struggled recently, Gonzalez has began today with a perfect inning of work, including that final out in the third. 0-1 coming home. High fly, foul, out of play behind Quad City's bullpen. Rayvaj Garcia gives it a look, but watches it land as a souvenir. And it bounces out of the seating bowl towards Garcia, who picks it up and flips it to somebody in Quad City's bullpen. And now it's Oscar Rayo who will try to find a new home for the baseball. He's asking his bullpen mates who he should throw it to. Connor Fenlong is providing advice. Another 0-2 pitch. This one fouled the side. Looks like Rayo's found somebody. He's walking up, and there's a young lady right there who's going to get herself a baseball. Look at Oscar making friends here in South Bend. Lots of smiles in that Quad Cities bullpen. Another 0-2. Low and in. It skips over the shoe tops of Rockefeller for ball one. Not too often are you going to find Oscar Raya without a smile on his face. A great guy and also a tremendous pitcher who's been instrumental to the success the Bandits bullpen has had this year. 1-2. High fly ball, right center field and shallow. Brett Bateman comes on, as does Rafael Morel, and it's the right fielder who makes the catch over his head to end the inning. Quad Cities goes down 1-2-3 in their half of the fourth, but they still lead 7-2. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den, Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Bosacker is back to the bump for the bottom of the fourth. His Quad Cities River Bandits lead the South Bend Cubs 7-2. Ed Howard leads off the frame. Right on right, Bosacker out of the line, delivers the first pitch, and the fastball is a strike on the low outside corner. Bosacker making his second career start as a River Bandit and getting much more run support than he did in his debut last week. 0-1, breaking balls fouled out of play on the right side, nothing in two. On July 13th, at Modern Woodman Park, Quad Cities lost Bosacker's debut 2-0. Bosacker, the losing pitcher by default, he gave up just one run in 5 1/3. 0-2, fouled off the glove of Hayes. Count holds. River Bandits pitching staff as a whole has been treated to just over 4 runs per game of run support this year. Another 0-2. Fastball fouled into the netting. Bosacker got it around Howard's hands, but he's able to poke it aside. Bandits offense as a whole has struggled this season. They have scored the fewest runs in the Midwest League, just over 350 this year. 0-2 pitch. Check swing. Breaking ball was down and away. Howard holds up, and there's no appeal down to Cheater Abdullah. Howard bounced out to first his first time up. Now he awaits the 1-2 and swings through his slider. That's strike three. Ethan Bosacker has all three of his most recent outs by way of the K. Swinging strikeouts of Rojas, Hearn, and now Howard to put one down in the bottom of the fourth. Now Rafael Morel steps up, another right-handed bat to face Bosacker. First pitch. Tapper foul off the end of the bat for strike one. Ethan got off to a bit of a bumpy start. Gave up a couple of hits, including an RBI double to Ethan Hearn in the first, and then that solo shot to Wogu in the second. A one pitch is high and tight for ball one. But since Quad Cities staked him to a 5-run lead with that 6-run third, he's settled down. The pitch. Popped up, high in the air, left center field. Dustin Dickerson, the shortstop, waves away Nivens and will make the catch for the second out. Morel retired, and that brings up Brian Colmer. So per usual, Bosacker doing his thing. 3 2/3 innings pitch, 3 strikeouts, no walks. He's thrown 57 pitches, and 39 have gone for a strike. That's quite efficient. Here's pitch to Colmer. Slider left up for ball one. Brian has struggled the most out of any South Bend hitter against Quad Cities this year. 1-0. Swing and a miss through a fastball, 1-1. Spent a lot of time this weekend talking about guys who've just torn up QC this year, and Brett Bateman and Jordan Wogu, just to name a couple. 1-1. Swing and a miss. Colmer chases way low and outside. 1-2. After his pop-up in the second inning, Brian is now 3-for-40 against the Bandits this year with 19 strikeouts, including a pair yesterday. 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Give him 3 strikeouts and give 4 to Ethan Bosacker. He cruises through the bottom half of the fourth and sends the Bandits to the fifth, up 7-2. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodmen Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Back at Four Winds Field for the start of the fifth inning, Quad Cities looking to add on to a five-run lead. They're in front of the South Bend Cubs, 7-2, in what's not only a series finale, but a rare rubber match. Cubs took game one of the set Friday, 8-1. Bandits responded with an extra inning victory yesterday, 8-7, and now lead 7-2 today. Trevor Werner leads off the inning at the plate, and Angel Gonzalez begins him with a strike on the outer half. Middle third of the lineup card due up for Conrad. Werner, Nivens, and Brito. Here comes the 0-1. Wave and a miss on a slider. No balls, two strikes. Since Quad Cities took the 7-2 lead in the top of the third inning, Ethan Bosacker has faced seven Cubs hitters and retired six of them, including all of his games, four strikeouts. Just pitched a 1-2-3 bottom of the fourth. 0-2 to Werner. Fastball fouled off the glove of Hearn, who angrily punches into his mitt, thinking he should have held on to that one for strike three. Instead, Werner gets a mulligan, steps out of the box, and takes a deep breath before scratching the end of the bat across home plate. Gonzalez, out of the stretch, takes a long pause. Pitch clock down to two. Now he fires, and he hits Werner right on the hip. Werner actually may have pinned that one between his elbow and his body. He did. He's got a smile on his face. Let's take a look at the replay up here in the booth. Did he catch that? Yeah, he did. Trevor Werner catches the baseball in between his tricep and the side of his body. And then threw it back to Angel Gonzalez. How about that? So Werner's at first for Spencer Nivens, who grounds one to first. Calmer picks it up, throws to second for one. On to first, and that's going to be a double play. Nivens didn't even make it two or three steps out of the box. Nivens may be trying to say that it hit him off the foot, but no complaints from Brooks Conrad, who now is checking on Werner as he walks back to the dugout. Just like that, the hit batsman retired. The bases are empty. And there are two gone for Chris Brito. First pitch. High for ball one. So that one, by the way, goes in the books as 3-6-3. Calmer did not tag the bag initially when he picked up the grounder. He threw it to second first and then got it back from Howard. Next pitch to Brito. A called strike on a fastball. Heater came across down the middle at 93. Quickly, he fires the 1-1, and Brito swings through a slider. It's strike two. Chris 0-for-1 to fly out to center in the second and then hit by a pitch in the third. Scored one of Quad City's 6 runs in that frame. Gonzalez delivers. Fastball bounces in front of the plate. A 58-footer for ball two. Bandits up 7-2 here in the top of the fifth inning. Chris Brito awaits the 2-2 and taps it foul towards the third base coach's box. Former big league infielder Brooks Conrad picks it up, rubs up the baseball a bit, and then points towards somebody in the seats before flipping him a souvenir. Gonzalez steals again. Fastball down and away, full count. Brito working a really good plate appearance, which is something that Columbia Fireflies fans got very accustomed to seeing from him to start the year down in the Carolina League. 3-2. Popped up out of play over home plate, over towards the front gates here at Four Winds Field. Brito struck out just over 11% of the time down in Columbia to start the year. He's playing in his 13th game with Quad Cities today. 3-2. Another foul ball. Gonzalez got way out in front of a curveball and tapped it behind home. A pirouetting swing, which caused him to lose track of where the ball went. Took a step towards first base thinking maybe it went in play, but that's not the case. Instead, he's back in the box for what will be the 9th pitch of the at-bat. Gonzalez fires another 3-2, and Brito watches it outside for ball four. Terrific AB for the former Rutgers standout. And Brito heads down to first base as a 2-out base runner. Both teams have really done well with 2 outs today. In fact, all of South Bend's hits and all of their runs have come in with 2 outs. Bandits have done a little more than that today. But they also have had some 2-out offense as Justin Johnson chases a high fastball for strike one. Speaking of 2-out offense, Johnson's 2-run double in the third came with 2 outs. The pitch. Inside, and a balk is called on Angel Gonzalez. Pitch does not count to Johnson, and Brito is going to go up the second base. Not exactly sure where the balk took place, but both Justin Hopkins and Jabril Jeter Abdullah threw their hands up and signaled it right away. So another man in scoring position for JJ, the 0-1. A called strike on the inner half, nothing in two. Johnson now with hits in 4 of his last 5 games. He has a 3 RBI performance tonight, or today I should say, and we're only in the 5th. Gonzalez is 0-2. Fastball high and tight, 1 ball, 2 strikes. Angel, 21 years old, from Manatí, Puerto Rico. Free agent signed by the Cubs back in 2020. He pitches from the first base side of the rubber. The 1-2. Slider taken for a called strike 3. Well placed in the high outside corner to freeze Johnson. The Bandits are held out of the run column in the 5th, but they still lead by 5. We're halfway through this Sunday afternoon rubber match on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
all set to begin the bottom of the fifth here at Four Winds Field. Kyle joining you on this Sunday afternoon. Pleased to have you along with us. Bandits out to a 7-2 lead. They're halfway through this Game 3 rubber match, trying to swipe a series from the Cubs at their place. Ethan Bosacker goes back to work and immediately gets a swinging strike one out of Jordan Wogu. Cubs left fielder brought in the last South Bend run with a solo shot in the second. A one, swing and a miss on a slider, nothing in two. Boy, the whiff count for Bosacker through the roof over the last couple innings. Bosacker has retired 6 of the last 7 batters he's faced, and 4 have gone down via strikeout. 0-2 to Wogu. Fastball high and away. Bosacker can't get him to chase. With that homer, Wogu has now reached in 8 consecutive ball games. Here's the pitch. Tapper out towards the right side. Went fair for a moment, but then rolls foul to the right of the first base chalk. During that 8-game on-base streak, Wogu has a home run, a triple, and 3 doubles. New ball in hand for Bosacker. The 1-2. Tapped to the backstop, foul. And when I say tapped, that's exactly what I mean. Wogu barely got a piece of it off the end of his bat, reaching out over the plate to stay alive. Bosacker clearly in the driver's seat. Another pitch. High and inside. Heater at 2-2. In addition to the 8-game on base streak, Wogu is 5-for-9 in this series. The pitch. Got him swinging. Bosacker goes back to the low outside corner, and Wogu can't catch up to the fastball. That is the 5th strikeout of the game for Ethan Bosacker, and there's one down in the bottom of the 5th inning. Now Ravage Garcia with one out and nobody on. Switch hitting third baseman bats left-handed and takes a fastball inside for ball one. Angel Gonzalez has pitched the last 2 1/3 innings out of the bullpen for South Bend. They've gotten a new righty up. 1-0. Change up for a strike on the inner half. 1-1. Looks like it's number 13, Tyler Santana, who's starting to get loose. Nick Lovello has called upon a ton of arms this weekend. 1-1. Down and away, 2-1. Cubs beat the Bandits on Friday 8-1. And yet still, Lovello went to 5 different pitchers, including the starter. 2-1. Tapped foul behind home, 2-2. Now, one of the reasons why is because their starter Arian Rodriguez went just 2 innings. Yesterday, the starter Jackson Wiggins went 4 innings in his high A debut, and he was one of 6 Cubs pitchers to take them out. The 2-2 pitch, down and away, full count. Ben Leeper threw an inning, Nick Hull threw 2, then Mitchell Tyranski, Giovanni Cabrera, and Jack Patterson all threw 1. Angel Gonzalez and Tyler Santana, there's not going to be too many more options in that Cubs bullpen. Payoff pitch, wave and a miss, Garcia chases in the dirt. Hayes picks up the loose ball, fires down to first, and completes Bosacker's 6th strikeout of the ball game. His season high and his career high, 8. A total which he got to back in June against the Cubs single-A affiliate, Myrtle Beach, down in the Carolina League. He's got a shot at that mark today. 2 outs, nobody on now for the leadoff guy, Brett Bateman. He is 0-2 to start the ball game. First pitch, grounded right back to Bosacker. He'll play the hop, flip to first, and end the inning. The former Musketeer has retired 7 in a row. He's got all 6 of his strikeouts over the last 3 innings. We go to the 6th at Four Winds Field. It's still a 7-2 lead for Quad Cities.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything
MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
As expected, right-hander Tyler Santana takes over on the mound for South Bend. We begin the top of the sixth. Quad Cities with a 7-2 lead. Davies Nadal leads off the frame and swings through a first pitch slider. Nadal, Hayes, Dickey do up for Quad Cities. A lefty in Nadal, a righty in Hayes, a lefty in Dickey. 0-1, that is hit high in the air, deep towards the right field corner. Morrell chasing over near the sidewall, but it lands foul on the berm. Behind some fans who have camped out on some beach towels and are taking in a wonderful afternoon at the ballpark. Nadal does not have an official at-bat tonight. He has walked in each of his first two plate appearances, batting eighth for Brooks Conrad today. Santana with the 0-2 pitch. Fastball back to Santana. The pitcher knocks it down, picks it up cleanly with the bare hand, and flips over to first to retire Nadal. One away. Tyler takes over for Angel Santana. And he put a stop to quite the Bandits rally in the third inning. You see it rattled off six runs to take this now 7-2 lead. He entered for starter Grant Kemp and picked up the final out of the frame. Right on right, Santana now faces Kyle Hayes. First pitch is a called strike on the high outside corner. Gonzalez finishes the day having thrown 2 1/3 scoreless innings. He did not allow a hit, surrendered just one walk, and picked up a strikeout. 0-1 coming home. Slider bounced over to third base, played on three hops by Garcia. He throws over to first, and Hayes is retired for the second and three at-bats tonight. Or today, I should say. Two gone. The Bandits, since scoring scoring six runs and batting around in the third, have not picked up a hit. Two outs, nobody aboard for Jarrett Dickey. He's hitting leadoff for the first time today. Normally somebody you'll see in the middle of the order. After the injury to Brett Squires, Dickey's kind of been the go-to three-hole hitter, and now he figures to remain there even more after the Royals' number 9 prospect, Carter Jensen, was promoted to AA last week. Here's the pitch. Low for ball one. Speaking of Carter Jensen, he hit his first AA homer in his second Naturals at-bat the other day. By no means surprised, but great to see that from Carter. 1-0. Fouled off of Hearn. One ball, one strike. Speaking of former River Bandits, now in AA, Steven Zoback pitched really well yesterday for the Naturals. Sean Murren mentioned that in his portion of the Royals minor league report today. 1-1. Down and outside, two balls and one strike. Quad City's up 7-2 in their half of the sixth inning. Jared Dickey 1-for-3 with that solo shot in the third. Tyler Santana works out of the windup. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Soft looper over to second, and it gets over Ramirez into right field. It's a two-hit ball game for Jared Dickey, who continues to tee off here in the month of July. Jared entered the ball game with the ninth best average in the Midwest League during this month. 314 average, a 471 slugging percentage in July. He's up to six extra base hits this month after that home run in the third. His two-out single extends the inning for Dustin Dickerson. Right on right, Santana's pitch is a fastball down and away. The Bandits have seen Santana a number of times. In fact, they've been facing him since all the way back in 2021. Santana in his third season with South Bend. Today marks his 20th appearance of 2024 here at Four Winds Field. 1-0 pitch. Foul ball into the glove of Hearn for strike one. He is 4-2 with a 6.36 ERA. 19 of his 20 appearances have been out of the bullpen this year. Has a whip of 184 and an opponent batting average of 330. 1-1 to Dusty. Called strike. Fastball at the top of the zone at an even 90 miles per hour, and it's 1-2. Ethan Bosacker has once again pitched five very strong innings for Quad Cities, but he may not return for the sixth. Connor Fenlong, the righty, warming up in the third base bullpen. Santana's 1-2. Foul to the screen. Good cut by Dickerson. Sends it straight backwards to stay alive. Bosacker today, five innings, two runs on four hits, no walks, and six strikeouts. If he does not return today, he will have finished the ball game having retired 10 of the last 11 hitters he faced, including all six of his game's six strikeouts. Another 1-2. Slider spun down and away. Hearn catches it just above the dirt. Two balls, two strikes. Dickerson in the two spot today. Batting there for the 10th time this season. He has hit in six different spots in the order for Brooks Conrad this year. The 2-2. Low for ball three. It's a full count. Dickerson put together a good month of June. In July, though, batting below 150. He's got 19 strikeouts in his last 13 ball games. He's put the ball in play three times today, but he's hitless. Dickey gets a head start at first with two outs and a full count. The pitch, line drive, past the diving Ramirez into right center field. Dickey motors up to third, and Dustin Dickerson has himself a knock right on cue. Really good piece of hitting. Got a fastball in the low outside corner and went with it into right center field. Bandits are now up to nine hits in the game, and a hefty amount of those have come with two outs. Bandits have not scored since that six-run third, but they've got an opportunity in the sixth. And at the corners with two outs for Carson Rockefort. First pitch, Santana throws a changeup low and outside for ball one. Rock has started out the game today 2-for-3 with a pair of singles. Scored one of those six runs in the third. Here's the 1-0. Fastball high, just above the belt. Two balls, no strikes. Rockefort, the highest drafted player amongst Quad City's position players, a competitive balance round B pick by Kansas City last year out of Louisiana Lafayette. 2-0. Grounder towards first base. It's under the glove of Calmer down the right field line. Dickey will score. Dickerson moves up to third. Here's the throw to second. It gets past Howard. It rolls into the Bandits bullpen. Dickerson scores. Here comes Rockefort. Quad Cities has a little league homer. Carson Rockefort touches them all. Quad Cities takes a 10-2 lead. Two different errors on the same play. First baseman Brian Calmer had it go under his glove, and then the throw to second to try to get Rockefort at second went flying into Quad City's bullpen, way past Ed Howard. And Rock, with great speed, able to come all the way around to score. So now the bases are empty. There are two outs, and here's Trevor Werner at the dish. Right on right, first pitch. Low and outside for ball one. Well, it's not going to be the seventh homer of the year for Rockefort, but I'm sure he'll take it. He had a big smile on his face as he got some high fives in that third base dugout. The 1-0 pitch. Outside with the heater, two balls, no strikes. And looked like Tyler Santana was going to cruise through this inning. Got a couple of quick outs of the 8 and 9 hitters. And then singles from Dickey and Dickerson extended the inning just for Rockefort to come all the way home. 2-0. Down and outside. Three balls, no strikes. So I imagine it'll be an E3 on Calmer. His second of the year. And then I believe it'll be an E9 on Morrell, the right fielder who tried to throw it to second base. 3-0 pitch. Trevor takes high and away for ball four. And this has just turned into a meltdown of an inning for South Bend. Werner does not have a hit today. However, he has reached in back-to-back at-bats, or back-to-back plate appearances, I should say. And once again, here comes the Cubs pitching coach, Bruce Billings. He will meet with Santana and the catcher, Hearn, trying to settle down his right-hander. It has to be frustrating as a pitcher. You feel like you got that third out. And not only did Rockefort reach, but he comes all the way around to score, which at this point in the ballgame is just salt in the wound. And for Santana, a guy who's struggled this year. As I mentioned, he has an opponent batting average of .330. He's used to getting hit around, and here he finally feels like he's got himself a scoreless inning. And the defense lets him down. A lot of dejected looks on South Bend's defense right now. Ed Howard leaning on his knees, staring straight down. Third baseman Ravaj Garcia with his hands on his hips. And now Bruce Billings back into the first base dugout with the inning extended for Spencer Nivens. Man at first, two outs, the pitch. Popped up in the air, foul over the third base side for strike one. So sure enough, it will be an E3 and an E9, allowing the Little League homer. Rockefort does not get any RBIs. 0-1. Wave and a miss. Nivens cannot connect on an elevated fastball. It's 0-2. Nivens bounced into a double play his last time up. But between the 9th and 10th innings yesterday and the 2nd and 3rd innings today, he had a 4-for-4 stretch, including two singles, a double, and a triple. Here comes Santana's 0-2. Swing and a miss. Nivens down on strikes. That ends the inning. Quad Cities, though, back in the run column thanks to some slipshod defense. QC up 10-2. We go to the bottom of the 6th on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Homer has extended the River Bandits advantage. It is now 10-2 Quad Cities as we open the bottom of the sixth inning. Connor Fenlong, as expected, the new pitcher for the Bandits. He starts off against Jefferson Rojas and pours in a fastball for strike one. Fenlong, the former Indiana State Sycamore, pitching for Quad Cities for just the sixth time this year. 0-1. Fastball missed outside, 1-1. He takes over for starter Ethan Bosacker, who in just his second start as a Bandit was fantastic. 1-1. Swing and a miss. Rojas may have gotten a piece of it, but it goes right into Kyle Hayes for strike two. Ethan goes five innings, gives up two runs on four hits with no walks and six strikeouts. He retired 10 of the final 11 batters he faced. 1-2 pitch. Slider just down and outside. Rojas does not chase. Count evens, two balls, two strikes. Fenlong began the season in Columbia, made 17 appearances with the Fireflies before being promoted. 2-2. Ground ball sharply hit right to the shortstop, Dickerson. He picks up the worm burner, fires to first, and gets Rojas for the out. Cubs number 7 prospect is 0-3 to start the ball game. And it will bring up their number 12 prospect, Pedro Ramirez, who's and the only Cub to find some consistent success today. He's 2-for-2 with a couple of singles. Fenlong starts with both feet pointed towards the plate. Now out of the line, the first pitch is low and inside. The fastball missed for ball one. Fenlong has been pretty steady for Quad City since getting the call up. In five games, he's posted an ERA of 3.38. 1-0. Grounded to the left side again. Dickerson backhand pickup. Throw across his body to first. Oh, he got him. And Dusty made that look way too easy. Dickerson playing on rookie mode right now. Range deep into the hole on the left side. Picked it up with a backhand. And as nonchalantly as one can make that throw, he tossed over to first to get Pedro. So back-to-back 6-3 groundouts to start the afternoon for Fenlong. And now he gets the left-handed catcher, Ethan Hearn. Ethan 1-for-2 with that RBI double in the first inning. Here's the pitch. Fouled straight back for strike one. Connor Fenlong, 24 years old, a native of Governor, New York. Stands on the hill at 6 feet, 4 inches, 234 pounds. Here comes his 0-1. Fastball missed high. 1-1. No activity in the bullpen for South Bend, so safe to assume that Tyler Santana will return for the top of the seventh inning. Here's the 1-1. High drive, deep left center field. Into the alley goes Rockeford. He looks up, and it's Nivens who plays it off the wall. He'll fire it in towards second base, but Hearn slides in safely with an easy double. His second of the ball game and his eighth of the year. What a great opposite field swing from Ethan Hearn. Got a fastball on the high outside corner at 94, and drove it 104 miles per hour off the high left center field wall. His double in the first inning was into right center, this one to left center. He'll extend the inning for Ed Howard. Cubs have a man at second with two outs. Howard, the five-hole hitter today. First pitch. Fastball missed outside for ball one. I mentioned Oscar Rayo earlier in the ball game. Handed out souvenirs to fans behind the bullpen. Thought there'd be a chance that we'd see him today. I guess there still is that chance. 1-0. Inside, two balls and no strikes. But with the way that Fenlong is pitching now, and given that Nathaniel Garabitos is now throwing the medicine ball up against the sidewall, I have to imagine he would be next in line, and Rayo, if he pitched, would be doing so in a strange situation. 2-0. Outside, three balls, no strikes. He was warming up during the late innings yesterday. He would have been called upon had Ben Sears been unable to work through the ninth or the tenth inning. Sears was able to do so to pick up his first win of the year. Some great clutch pitching from him. 3-0. Fenlong loses Howard. He misses outside for ball four. Connor can't believe the call of Justin Hopkins. Taking a look at the digital strike zone up here in the booth. Yeah, I think Fenlong has a gripe. That one looked like it caught the outer half of the zone, but Howard works a two-out walk. And now here's Rafael Morel, the fifth hitter in the inning for South Bend. Cubs have not scored since the second inning when Jordan Wogu hit that solo shot. They trail the Bandits 10-2 in this Sunday afternoon rubber match. Right on right, first pitch. Fastball, a called strike on the low inside corner. Bandits have 10 runs on 9 hits, no errors. The Cubs have their 2 runs on 5 hits and 3 errors. 2 of those happened in the last half inning on that Carson Rockefeller Little League homer. 0-1 hit the opposite way into the glove of a jumping Chris Brito over at first base. Pretty good inside-out swing from Morel, but Brito at the right place at the right time to help Bosacker safely through the 6th inning. We go to 7. Quad Cities in front, 10-2.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Final third of today's ball game officially underway. Top of the seventh getting started here at Four Winds Field. Kyle Kirchville welcoming you back to the River Bandits Baseball Network. Brito, Johnson, and Nadal do up to start the seventh. Tyler Santana's first pitch to Brito is down and away for ball one. Santana responsible for 3 unearned runs. Cubs committed a couple of errors to allow a Little League homer that scored 3 during the sixth inning. 1-0. Brito takes a call and strike in the low outside corner. Connor Fenlong became the first River Bandits pitcher to throw today, aside from the starter Bosacker. He threw a scoreless bottom of the sixth to get us to where we are now. 1-1. Bouncing ball back up the middle. It'll squeak through for a base hit. Chris Brito with a nice swing, sending it back up the middle. Quad Cities now with 10 runs on 10 hits today. Brito's reached in three of his four plate appearances this afternoon. So a man on, nobody out. Justin Johnson, the batter. Justin's had a really good game. 1-for-2. Sack fly in the second, a two-run double in the third. Santana into the stretch. Here's the pitch. Fastball for a strike at the top of the zone. This is the time of the ball game where we like to take a look around the rest of the Midwest League. Everyone else in the 12-team circuit wrapping up its respective three-game series, wherever they may be. 0-1. Big curveball, high and tight. One ball, one strike. A couple of games have already gone final. They're over in the Eastern Division. We are right on the border of the East and West here in the Midwest League. South Bend actually used to be an Eastern Division team back in the day. 1-1. Foul tip into the glove of Hearn for strike two. Final over in Fort Wayne. Lake County gets a victory over the Tin Caps at Parkview Field 6-3. Lake County now tied with Dayton for the best record in the Eastern Division. Of course, in the second half, they're both 13-10. Captains, though, already won the first half. Santana's 1-2. Down and away. Two balls, two strikes to Justin Johnson. And then over in Lansing, a complete pitcher's duel. A run was not scored until the bottom of the eighth inning. Lansing took a 1-0 lead over Great Lakes, and that would wind up the final score. Santana delivers again. Swing and a miss. Johnson actually got a piece of it, but it's tipped into the glove of Hearn for strike three. Second K for Santana. And with one out and a man at first base, here's Davies Nadal. He's 0-for-1, but as I mentioned earlier, walked in his first two plate appearances. Former Bradenton Marauder, down in the Pirates farm system, now with the Royals system for the first time in his career. He'll swing at a first pitch in the dirt for strike one. Other action in the league features a couple of other games that also are in the seventh inning, as is the case here at Four Winds Field. Santana's 0-1. Fouled straight back. Good cut from Nadal, but he falls behind 0-2. Over in West Michigan, the Dayton Dragons have a 4-2 lead over the Whitecaps. Top of the seventh at LMCU Ballpark. And in Cedar Rapids, arguably the two best teams in the Western Division this year, squaring off Wisconsin and Cedar Rapids in the top of the seventh. Rattlers have a 4-3 lead over the Colonels at Veterans Memorial Stadium. 0-2 to Nadal is hit high in the air, deep to right field. Back goes Morrell at the fence. He jumps up. It is gone! Davies Nadal will touch them all. A towering two-run shot just gets over the right field fence. The Bandits now lead 12-2 on Nadal's second homer of the year. 1-0-3 off the bat. That thing touched the clouds and landed just above the yellow stripe in right field. Bandits have had a day to remember at the plate. 12 runs, 11 hits. Nadal picks up the team's second smash. One out, nobody aboard for Kyle Hayes now. He'll take a slider down and away for strike one. Nadal hit his first home run of the season all the way back in May against the Beloit Skycarp at ABC Supply Stadium. 1-0. Chopper to the left side. Howard plays it on a few hops. Shortstop sets his feet, throws to first, and picks up the second out. Hayes now 1-for-4 with that two-run double back in the third. It brings up Jared Dickey with the bases clear. Anytime the doll hits one out, that third base dugout turns electric. Davies just 5'9", 155 pounds, but he's got some pop that'll creep up on you. Jared Dickey stepping into the box. Looks like a baseball has come in from Quad City's bullpen. He'll have to go retrieve that and throw it towards the Cubs dugout. That cues me to look down into the left field pen, and sure enough, there's Nathaniel Garavito starting to get loose. Connor Fenlong likely done after just one frame of relief today. Now the pitch to Dickey. Bouncing ball back up the middle. Howard plays it off the mound, throws to first, and ends the inning. That's good defensive positioning by whoever set that up for South Bend. Quad Cities, though, back in the run column. A two-run shot from Davies Nadal sends us to the bottom of the seventh, 12-2 River Bandits.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Daniel Garavito on to pitch the bottom of the seventh. He gets a first pitch swing from Brian Calmer to start his afternoon with strike one. Garavito gets Calmer, Wogu, and Garcia, the bottom third of the Cubs lineup. 0-1 pitch. Calmer lifts it to right field. Jared Dickey takes just a few steps in and will make the catch to retire Calmer for the third time in the game. Quickly one down for Nathaniel. He is replacing Connor Fenlong. Connor pitched a scoreless inning today, worked around a two-out double from Hearn and a two-out walk from Ed Howard in the sixth inning. Now he passes the ball off to the hard-throwing right-hander. First pitch to Wogu. Slider is there for strike one. Garavito's, 23 years old, from Boni in the Dominican Republic. Pitching for Quad Cities for the 23rd time this year. 0-1 spiked in the dirt. Fastball at 98, but for ball one. Garavito's can be a little wild at times, but he's actually toned it down a little bit this year in terms of his velo, which has allowed him to be slightly more accurate. 1-1. Fastball, dribble to the left side. That gets through, past a diving Nadal. It's a base hit for Wogu. Well, he's continuing to have another great performance against Quad Cities. He is 2-for-3 with a solo smash and the single. A man on with one out for third baseman and nine-hole hitter Ravage Garcia. Quad Cities now has a 12-2 lead thanks to Davies Nadal. Davies with a two-run blast over the right field fence against Tyler Santana in the last inning. First pitch, Garcia takes outside for ball one. The home run, second of the year for Nadal. He picks up RBIs number 7 and 8 in the process. The pitch. Runner takes off. High and away. Hayes throws down to second, and it's not nearly in time to get Wogu, who got a really good jump and swipes 90 feet. That is the first stolen base of the game for South Bend, a team that, like Quad Cities, is pretty aggressive on the base paths. We saw them take 3 bases yesterday without being caught. But down 12-2, they've just been focusing on trying to get base runners this afternoon. Garabito's 2-0 pitch. Outside with a heater at 95. 3 balls, no strikes. Nathaniel, 1-1 with a 354 earned run average this year. Spent each of the last 2 seasons in single-A Modesto when he was a member of the Seattle Mariners organization. He was traded over to the Royals in March of this year. 3-0. Fastball down the middle for a called strike one. Last time we saw the righty was July 14th at Modern Woodman Park, the last game before the All-Star break. Through a scoreless, perfect inning of relief, just 9 pitches to end the ball game against the Chiefs. 3-1. A wave and a miss. Garcia chased out of the zone 3-1. It was a changeup outside. Garcia went after it and just doinked it into the glove of Hayes. Garabito's gifted strike 2. Man, it's second, 1 out. Payoff pitch coming home to Garcia. Looped in the air towards center field. Drifting in, Carson Rockefort. He'll make the catch. And that is the second out. Wogu does not tag. Couple of fly ball outs for Garabito's in the home half of the 7th. And the lineup card turns over for the 3rd time today. It's the leadoff man, Brett Bateman. It has had a very un-Brett Bateman-like game. 0-for-3. Of course, he hasn't struck out because Bateman will rarely do that. But anytime he's hitless coming into the 7th inning, it feels a bit strange, especially against Quad Cities. First pitch, low for ball 1. Bateman, 3rd in the league with a .412 on-base percentage. He is also top 10 in batting average and walks. Enter the game hitting .299 this year. 1-0. High and outside. 2 balls, no strikes. Bateman's played in 15 games against Quad Cities. He has 29 total bases against the Bandits and an OPS north of 1,000. Bateman's choked way up on the bat. Man, it's second, 2 outs. The bench. Called strike. Good pitch from Garabitos. He finds the low inside corner. And it's 2-1. Bandits lead 12-2 in the bottom of the 7th inning. Cubs trying to score for the first time since the 2nd. 2-1. Scooped up and foul over the third base side. Bateman may have reached for one there. No, it was a slider at the knees. Good pitch, though, from Garabitos. Righty has 20 strikeouts in 28 innings this year. His strikeout per 9 numbers down significantly from where they were with Modesto. But again, focusing on command this year. 2-2. That's low for ball 3. And the count goes full. Garabito steps way out in front of the mound and gets the ball back from Kyle Hayes. And adjusts his cap before stepping onto the hill. Wogu gets his lead from second. 3-2. Fouled over the third base dugout. Clangs off the roof and back into the seats. If the Bandits can hold on to this 10-run lead, they will secure this 3-game weekend series. It would be the team's 8th series win of the season. Another 3-2. Ground ball back up the middle. Afgarabito sliding stop at short. Dickerson throw to first. Oh, we got him! Another spectacular play from Dustin Dickerson. He's got a couple of web gems tonight, and he helps Carabito safely through the seventh inning. Beautiful footwork, a perfect throw, and he got Brett Bateman nonetheless. We go to the eighth. It's 12-2 Quad Cities.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Fresh off a terrific defensive play to end the seventh inning, Dustin Dickerson starts the eighth at the plate for Quad Cities. He'll take a pitch in the dirt for ball one. Newcomb's pitcher is Jose Romero. He's working for the second time in this series. 1-0. Fastball finds the low outside corner for a called strike one. Dickerson, Rockefert, and Werner are set to face Romero in this eighth inning. 1-1 coming home. Fouled over the first base dugout. Dickerson couldn't square up the fastball, and it's 1-2. Romero making his 25th appearance of the year. He owns a 5.03 ERA in his first season with South Bend. His 1-2. Fastball up. Dickerson lays off. We saw Romero pitch in the game on Friday through a scoreless inning, working around two walks. 2-2. Slider spun down and away, and it's a full count. Dickerson has made two terrific plays tonight. One to rob Pedro Ramirez of a hit in the sixth. One to rob Brett Bateman of a hit in the seventh. Payoff pitch. Outside ball four. Dickerson works a walk. He's now 1-for-4 at the plate today with a single and the free pass. And things continue to turn up in favor of Quad Cities. This has been quite the end of the weekend for them. And puts a great taste in the mouth as Quad Cities goes back home for what'll be a key six-game series against the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Obviously, the Kearns, an interstate rival. But in terms of the playoff implications, that week even bigger. First pitch to Rockefert. It's a called strike one. Right now, Cedar Rapids leads the way for that final playoff spot in the Midwest League West Division. Wisconsin still technically leads the division, but they won the first half. 0-1. Rock pops one foul over the left side. Nothing at two. So it doesn't matter where Wisconsin winds up in the standings in half number two. They will get home field advantage in the Midwest League divisional round come September. They're 15-7. Right behind them, the Colonels, 14-9. 0-2 pitch. Outside with a breaking ball, 1-2. Carson Rockefert has had an adventurous day at the plate. He is 2-for-4 with a pair of singles. He also reached on an error in the sixth, and on the same play, scored a Little League homer. Romero's 1-2. Grounded foul into the first base dugout off the hands of a couple of Cubs staff members. Bat boy will go pick it up and take it easily back into the dugout. And it's up 12-2 here in the top of the eighth. Dickerson held it first by Calmer. 1-2 pitch. Rock grounds it. Just foul to the right of the chalk down the first baseline. Brian Calmer was in the perfect place to pick that one up because he was holding the runner, but it didn't matter. More activity in the River Bandits bullpen. Chase Wallace has picked up a baseball and is playing catch with Omar Hernandez. Another 1-2. Line drive, right center field. Another base hit for Carson Rockefert. Dickerson gets up the second, and Rock is 3-for-5. Well, he is, as we've documented, struggled in the month of July. Brooks Conrad puts him into the 3 spot today, regardless. And he has rewarded the skipper with 3 quality base hits. Once again, traffic on the base paths for the River Bandits. 2 on, no one out. And the cleanup hitter, Trevor Werner, stepping towards home plate. Catcher Ethan Hearn just exchanged a brief word with Jose Romero. And now he's back behind the dish, adjusting his catcher's mask. Werner is 0-for-2, but he's reached twice. Hit by a pitch once he walked. First toss. Called strike at the knees. Romero throws the fastball at 94. Jose, 23 years old, from Santa Barbara, Venezuela. 5'10", 185 pounds. 0-1, breaking ball left up, but popped in the air to shallow right field. Second baseman Ramirez goes out. He calls off Calmer and makes the catch before looking back towards second base. That's out number one. That was probably a missed opportunity for Werner. He got a pitch middle out at 84 and got in front of it. Popped it up. And now he hands the bat off to Spencer Nivens. Spencer with another multi-hit effort today. He's 2-for-4 with an RBI single in the third. First pitch. Nivens takes low for ball one. What a stretch it's been for Spencer. And it couldn't be happening to a nicer guy. Considering all the adversity he had to face to begin his high A career, it's even more welcome. He swings to the 1-0 and pops this one towards right field. Second baseman Ramirez goes out, makes the catch, and there are 2 away. Nivens missing pretty much the first month of the season due to injury. Pulled a hammy in West Michigan and took about a month and a half to work his way back into action, but he has started to look like the top 30 Royals prospect we expected to see at the beginning of the year. Now 2 outs, 2 on for Chris Brito. Right on right. First pitch is low for ball one. Another guy who has had a great ball game. But then again, you could say that about most of the guys in Quad Cities lineup. Brito is 1-for-2 with a single, a walk, and a hit by pitch. He has scored 2 of Quad Cities' dozen runs today. Romero fires the 1-0. Breaking ball misses inside. 2 balls, no strikes. Dickerson led off the inning with a walk. He's over at second base. Carson Rockefert picked up his 3rd single of the ball game to get to first, where he is now. Both waiting to come around to score. 2-0. Low and outside. 3 balls, no strikes. Brito's walk in the 5th was drawn after a 9-pitch battle. He's more than happy to take his base and patiently stand in the box. Romero delivers inside near Brito's eyes. He leans backwards and will take his base for the 2nd time today. Romero's now issued a pair of walks in this 8th inning. Well, he's had issues with that this year. He is up to 34 walks in 34 2/3 innings this season. Teams have hit pretty well against him, a .258 opponent batting average for Romero, but the walks have really been the issue. Now bases juiced and two outs for Justin Johnson. Here's the pitch. Fouled over the right side. That's hit pretty well, but out of play by the splash pad over in right field. Johnson has a 3 RBI performance today, his first of the season. And multi-RBI effort number 3 for the former Demon Deacon. 0-1 slider spins into the high inside corner for strike 2. Johnson began his game with a sac fly to tie the game at 1 back in the top of the second, and he struck for a 2-run double in the third. 0-2 pitch. Another slider and another called strike. That's number 3, and Johnson's down looking to end the top of the 8th. Quad Cities, though, still in the driver's seat. It's 12-2 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Here at Four Winds Field, Quad Cities clinging to a 12-2 lead. New pitcher on, it's Chase Wallace. He throws ball 1 to Jefferson Rojas and officially opens up the inning. 2-3-4 to bat for Nick Lovello's crew. Wallace, the fourth pitcher used today by Brooks Conrad. 1-0. Just low, 2 balls, no strikes. Wallace, the former Tennessee Volunteer, pitching for Quad Cities for the third time in his career. This is his 24th appearance of 2024. 2-0 to Rojas. Fastball finds the inner half for a called strike 1. Wallace has been very solid for the Bandits this year. Number 25 owns a 3.27 ERA in 33 innings even. The 2-1 pitch. Low and outside. The heater missed the corner. It's 3-1. He takes over for Natanael Garabitos, who faced one over the minimum in a scoreless seventh inning. Gave up a one-out single to Jordan Wogu, but nothing came of it. Wallace is 3-1. Check swing. Pitch was inside. Did he go? Yes, he did. It's a swinging strike called on the appeal by Jabril Jeter Abdullah, and the count goes full. Top two hitters in South Bend's lineup today, Brett Bateman and Jefferson Rojas, a combined 0-for-7. Here's the payoff pitch. Got him. Called strike 3 on the low outside corner. A fastball at an even 90. Second time Rojas has gone down on strikes today. And that's got to be a frustrating punch out for him. Started ahead of the count 3-0. May have chased ball 4. In fact, he did chase ball 4. And then he watches strike 3 go by. So a good start for Wallace, who is pitching for the first time this weekend. Now he gets Pedro Ramirez. Switch hitter bats left and takes the first pitch high and away for ball 1. Wallace was fantastic in the month of June. Since the calendar is flipped over, he has struggled a bit in July, but still has that ERA below 3.30 on the summer. 1-0. Low and inside, 2 balls, no strikes. Ramirez, a switch hitter, has a slightly better average hitting against lefties as opposed to righties, 300 to 267. But all three of his home runs this year have come versus right-handed pitching. The 2-0. Smoked towards right center field. That's a base hit. Could be extra bases. Dickey rushes to cut it off. He does so. Throwing over to second base. He still won't get Ramirez, who dives in head first with a double. He has been a bright spot for South Bend today. 3-for-4 with 2 singles and now the two-bagger. Ramirez batting over 300 against Quad Cities this year, regardless of pitcher handedness. He grabs his 10th double of the season this afternoon. Man in scoring position with one out for Ethan Hearn, who's also had a great day. 2-for-3 with 2 doubles. The pitch. Low and inside, nearly caught Hearn's feet. He hops out of the way. 1-0. Nobody warming up in South Bend's bullpen. Jose Romero just stranded the bases loaded in the top of the 8th inning. Bandits with a 10-run lead. They've out-hit the Cubs 12-7 and have both of the game's homers. 1-0. Just low and inside. Maybe more inside than low. Brooks Conrad asking Justin Hopkins where it missed. And, well, he's not exactly asking. He's more disagreeing with Hopkins. But either way, the count 2-0. Nobody bothering to hold Ramirez at second base. The 2-0. Foul tip off of Kyle Hayes, the Bandits catcher, who once again loses his mask and will take a moment to stretch out the neck. Home plate umpire Justin Hopkins gives him a second to wipe the stars away. Kyle making his first start of the season for the River Bandits, just added to the roster from AAA Omaha a few days ago. Just the 3rd River Bandits catcher to suit up this year. He's back ready to go. The 2-1 pitch. Slow chopper to the right side. It's foul and strike 2. No other games have gone final in the Midwest League today. As I mentioned, Lake County beat Fort Wayne 6-3 on the road. Lansing shut out Great Lakes in Michigan's capital 1-0. 2-2. Scooped up, foul over the screen on the third base side. Count holds. And as far as Royals minor league action goes, well, Northwest Arkansas and Tulsa were supposed to begin at 2:05 Central today. That is not happen. Their first pitch delayed and still delayed. Another 2-2. Pulled foul over the right side. Look out on the concourse. Ethan Hearn putting together a good at-bat here in the 8th. So hopefully at some point the Drillers and Naturals will get going from Arvest Ballpark. Last year's pitcher of the year for Quad Cities, Mason Barnett, slated to get the start in that series finale. Another 2-2. Inside, Hearn bounces out of the way again, and he's worked the count full. Single A Columbia will finish up its series against the Cubs single A affiliate, Myrtle Beach, at 4:05 Central. Omaha wraps up its series with Indianapolis at 5:05 Central. 3-2 pitch. Looped in the air, shallow left center field. Dustin Dickerson's going out. Spencer Nivens calls him off. Left fielder makes the catch chest high, and Hearn is finally retired for the second out despite a valiant effort. He made Wallace work for that one. But Ramirez remains stuck at second base with 2 outs for the shortstop, Ed Howard. The Chicago, Illinois native, once a top 30 prospect in the Cubs system, he's been hampered by injury over the last couple of years. First pitch. Slider down and away for ball 1. He is still just 22 years old. He was the first round pick by Chicago in 2020, the year the draft was shortened to just 5 rounds. Ben Hernandez, the Royals' second round pick that year, made his high A debut earlier this week. Here's the 1-0. A late swing from Howard. He fouls it off the first base dugout fencing and over to the Cubs bullpen. We're in the bottom of the eighth inning at Four Winds Field. Quad Cities with a 12-2 lead over the South Bend Cubs, trying to win back-to-back games and officially claim this three-game weekend series. Chase Wallace is 1-1. Wave and a miss. One ball, two strikes. Good little sinker from Chase Wallace. Got Howard swinging right over the top of it. Ed's 0 for 2. Worked a walk back in the sixth. Ramirez still at second base. 1-2 pitch. Slider just off the plate outside. It missed by a hair. 2-2. Wallace spun that one up there at 83 miles per hour. But Howard saw it the whole way. Bandits will have 8-9-1 due up in the top of the ninth inning. Wallace is 2-2. Tapped foul just off the end of the bat over towards the Cubs on deck circle. Howard will take a moment to examine the end of the stick, making sure it didn't break in any way. Looks like the prognosis is a good one. He's back in the box, ready to go. Same black bat in hand. Wallace looking for his second strikeout of the inning. The pitch. Just low and away. Man, what a two-strike pitch from Chase Wallace. He is all over that low outside corner. He's not getting the call from Justin Hopkins. Now Derek Lewis, the River Bandits pitching coach, mentioning a word or two from the third base dugout. Brooks Conrad, none too pleased at the moment. Here's the payoff pitch. Outside, ball four. Another great spot for Chase Wallace, but he does not get the call, and Ed Howard works his second walk of the ball game. So, inning extended for Rafael Morel, and now Taylor Bloy, the River Bandits assistant pitching coach, is going to head on out to the hill. He's filling in for Derek Lewis, I guess, in terms of the mound visits today. Taylor Bloy, the assistant pitching coach for Single-A Columbia last year, and a former Royals farmhand himself. He'll talk things over not only with the battery, but the entirety of Quad Cities infield. Well, after Quad Cities wraps up this weekend series today, they will be back at home starting next Tuesday to begin, as I mentioned, a big six-game set against the Cedar Rapids Colonels. First pitch for Game 1 on Tuesday, scheduled for the usual 6:30 slot. River Bandits pregame show will get started at 6:20 here on the River Bandits Baseball Network and Floodwaters permitting, MILB-TV and Bally Live. A lot of folks have been asking me over the last couple of weeks about that, and unfortunately it's just a situation that's out of our control. Floodwaters are creating outages throughout the Quad Cities region that have been affected by the flooding, and unfortunately our live stream is one of those things impacted. So hopefully we've got a video feed for you coming next week. Ready to resume? Rafael Morel's at the plate for South Bend. He takes a big cut through the first pitch and comes up empty against Wallace's fastball. It's strike one. Quad Cities up 12-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Cubs have runners at first and second with two outs. They're trying to score for the first time since the second inning. Wally's 0-1. Down and away. No balls, two strikes. Correction, one ball, one strike. I beg your pardon. Wallace has thrown a fair amount of balls in this inning, but he's been much more around the strike zone than that number alone may indicate. His 1-1 pitch. That one's certainly down and away. A slider, it's 2-1. Wallace has been all over the strike zone. He just has not gotten the Cubs to chase enough, nor has he gotten any borderline calls from Justin Hopkins. Now it's 2-1. Called strike. That one finds the base of the square. And it's 2-2. Now it's Rafael Morel not pleased with the call. He'll ask for time. Morel came into this game having reached safely in each of his previous eight plate appearances, going back to before the All-Star break. Today, he's put the ball in play three times, but 0 for 3, including a line-out to Chris Brito back in the sixth inning. Wallace trying to put an end to this eighth inning. 2-2 on the way. He got him. wave and a miss on the slider. Chase Wallace bookends a scoreless eighth inning with both of his strikeouts. We go to the ninth. Quad Cities looking to add on one more time to a 12-2 lead.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Wallace works around a couple of base runners in the eighth. He's kept Quad City's 12-2 lead intact, with Davies Nadal looking to help tack on more in the top of the ninth. First pitch from Jose Romero will miss high and away for ball one. Nadal, Hayes, and Dickey to bat. Davies, 1-for-2. The pitch popped up right near home plate. Hearn sheds the mask, moves over towards the Bandits dugout, and makes a nice two-handed catch for the out. Nadal hit a two-run homer his last time up, his first since May 4th, but Romero retires him quickly in the ninth, and it brings up the catcher, Kyle Hayes. More activity in the River Bandits bullpen, and as I speculated about earlier, it looks like Oscar Rayo will get a chance to pitch in this weekend series. He's currently throwing to Omar Hernandez. First pitch to Kyle Hayes. Check swing. He did not go. It was high and inside for ball one. Kyle picked up his first career high A hit with a two-run double in the third. He is hitless, though, since then. 1-0. High and inside again, and Hayes watched it go by easily for ball two. Kyle played collegiately at both James Madison and George Mason. 2-0. Popped up, foul out of play on the right side. 2-1. Even though he was transferred from Omaha to Quad Cities over the break, he did get a chance to go home to Virginia. 2-1 pitch. Slider just low and away, 3-1. Got a chance to chat with him during batting practice yesterday. Nice to see Kyle again. One of two River Bandits catchers on the roster now. 3-1 pitch. Wave and a miss. Strike two. Romero got the heater by him at 93, and now Kyle will use a timeout. Hayes tied with A.J. Block as the oldest two players on the Bandits roster. They're both 26. Block technically a little bit older. He was born in April. Hayes born in October. Romero's payoff pitch. Inside, Hayes will draw the walk. Romero's issued now three of those in an inning and a third today. And it is more traffic for the River Bandits bats. Only once in the ball game has Quad Cities gone down in order. That was the first full frame thrown by Angel Gonzalez in the fourth. Since then, the Bandits have brought at least one over the minimum to the plate in every inning. A man on for Jared Dickey now, today's leadoff hitter. He'll take inside for a ball. Dickey with another multi-hit effort. He is 2-for-5 with his 8th home run of the year in the third and a single in the 6th. He scored a run both times he was on. 1-0. Wave and a miss. A big hack and an elevated fastball, but it's 1-1. Today marks multi-hit game number 16 for Jared Dickey. Not a bad debut as the one-hole hitter. The pitch. Slider high and outside. 2-1. While Oscar Rio continues to get loose for Quad Cities, the Cubs have a lefty of their own warming up on the first base side. Should Romero need some help getting out of this frame? Double play depth for the infield. 2-1 is lifted in the air towards left field. That should be a can of corn for Jordan Wogu. He makes just a couple of steps in and hauls in the second out. So Jared Dickey gets 6 at-bats in his leadoff man debut. But he'll have to be content with the 2 hits for now. So up comes Dustin Dickerson. Bandits up 12-2 in the top of the ninth. Hayes over at first base. Right on right, the first pitch. Fastball for a strike in the low outside corner. Dickerson, 1-for-4 in the ball game. Started out the day 0-for-3, but has a single and a walk in his last 2 trips to the dish. 0-1. Fouled over the netting, or actually right on the top of the netting on the right side for strike 2. Bandits have 12 runs on 12 hits today. They've got 3 doubles and 2 home runs. The pitch. High. 1-2. For the Cubs, they have 2 runs on 7 hits. 3 doubles and 1 homer. Hearn has 2 of the 2 baggers. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Dickerson chases way low and outside. 4-3. That'll end the inning. The Bandits bring 1 over the minimum to the plate in the ninth. They do not score, but they've got a 10-run lead. Oscar Rio coming on to close out this weekend series here in South Bend.
There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodmen Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Ninth at 4 wins field. The River Bandits need just 3 more outs to pick up what would be one of the squad's best wins of the year. Bandits up 12-2, and it's Oscar Rio's job to pick up those last 3 outs. A 22-year-old Southpaw hails from Managua, Nicaragua. As we've talked about a number of times on this broadcast before, he is quietly been one of the best left-handed pitchers in not only the Midwest League, but in all of high A. Here in the ninth, he gets Calmer, Wogu, and Garcia. Southpaw works out of the windup. First pitch. Calmer takes high for 1. Rio takes the reins from Chase Wallace, who picked up a couple of strikeouts in a scoreless 8th inning. 1-0. Slider popped in the air. Foul over the right side for strike 1. Quad City's bullpen is pitched scoreless today. Connor Fenlong, Nathaniel Garabitos, and Chase Wallace all posting zeros in one inning of work apiece. 1-1. Slider missed outside for ball two. Statistically, Ryo is 2-0 with a 2.22 ERA this year, a 1.07 whip, and a 2.15 opponent batting average. 2-1, a slider hit weakly towards second base. Justin Johnson picks it up, throws to first, and Calmer's retired for the fourth time in his many at-bats today. He just can't figure out Quad Cities. He is now 3-for-43 against Quad Cities in 2024. So one out, nobody aboard for Jordan Wogu. Cubs left fielder, 2-for-3 with a solo homer and a single today. Ryo starts him with a slider. This one grounded up the middle. Johnson picks behind the bag, throws to first. Chris Brito scoops it out. And that's out number two. Quad Cities has done it all today. The bats, the pitching, and the gloves have come to play. Bandits want themselves this series win. On any given day between Pineda, Dickerson, and Johnson, Bandits can usually throw a middle infield out there that's as skilled as anyone defensively in the league, if you ask me. Now Ravaj Garcia, he'll take a strike of the knees for strike one. Ryo did not pitch earlier this week. Last time out, he threw three innings of relief against Peoria on July 11th. 0-1. Down and away, one ball, one strike. Tough thing about being a long reliever, especially around the All-Star break, you have to wait a long time to pitch. 1-1. Chopper back towards second. Another opportunity for JJ. This one much easier, and he ends the ball game. Oscar Ryo with a 1-2-3 ninth. Quad Cities with a 12-2 win in this Sunday rubber match. The Bandits take their final series of the year against the South Bend Cubs. They hit the road for Davenport tonight and will start a six-game homestand against Cedar Rapids next Tuesday. Great return from the All-Star break. The Bandits are back. They've won 2 out of 3 since the pause, and they'll be playing in front of you in downtown Davenport in just a couple of days. We'll stick around for the post-game show. Make sure to join us. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
for the final time today and for the final time this weekend. Welcome back to Four Winds Field in South Bend, Indiana. The Quad Cities River Bandits take a Game 3 rubber match in very good fashion. To say the least, they defeat South Bend 12-2 to claim this three-game series. They go into a series opener with Cedar Rapids next Tuesday, having won back-to-back ball games. Let's start the post-game show today with the line score for the victorious River Bandits. 12 runs on 12 hits. They did not commit an error. They go 3-for-11 with runners in scoring position and strand 8 on the base paths. For the South Bend Cubs, 2 runs, 7 hits, 3 errors. They go 0-for-6 with men in scoring position and strand 7 on base. The winning pitcher, Ethan Bosacker, he got no run support in his high A debut a couple of weeks ago. Even though he gave up just one run in 5 1/3 innings, he was tagged with the loss. Today he gets plenty of run support, and he didn't need all of it. Bosacker improves to 1-1, giving up just 2 runs in 5 innings on 4 hits, no walks, and 6 strikeouts. The former Xavier standout retires 10 of the final 11 batters he faced today. The losing pitcher is the Cubs starter, or was the Cubs starter, Grant Kipp. He falls to 0-2 in his third appearance against the Bandits in 4 total. He gives up 7 runs earned on 7 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Kipp goes just 2 2/3 innings. No saves or holds to credit out of the River Bandits bullpen, but all 4 relievers who appeared today did so scorelessly. Connor Fenlock, Nathaniel Garabitos, Chase Wallace, and Oscar Rayo, each pitching a scoreless frame. They combined to give up just 3 hits, 2 walks, and strike out 2 to help nail down the victory in the late frames. Final time of the ball game tonight, 2 hours and 39 minutes with an attendance of 5,409 here at Four Winds Field. Quad Cities got offensive contributions from every single player in the lineup. In fact, every single River Bandit reached base, and 5 different Bandits drove in runs, including the bottom third of the order. Justin Johnson, Davies Nadal, and Kyle Hayes, they combined to bring in 7 of the Bandits' 12 tallies. Johnson had 3 RBIs, including a 2-run double in the third. Davies Nadal picked up his second homer of the year with a 2-run shot in the 7th. And in the 3rd, during that 6-run frame, Kyle Hayes picked up his first career high A hit with a 2-run double over Reyvaj Garcia down the left field line to help pour it on in what would become a 6-run inning. Let's go ahead and get you some final scores from around the Midwest League. We have checked in a couple of times throughout today, but over the last couple innings of our ball game at Four Winds Field, every contest except the one has gone final. The game that's still taking place is over in Peoria, and a good finish is brewing there. Beloit and the Chiefs are tied at 1 in the bottom of the 7th over at Dozer Park. As we mentioned earlier, Lansing got a shutout win at home, defeating Great Lakes 1-0. And in Fort Wayne, the Lake County Captains defeat the Tin Caps 6-3 at Parkview Field. The Dayton Dragons pick up their 14th win of the second half. They defeat West Michigan 4-2 at LMCU Ballpark. And then in Cedar Rapids, the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers get a 5-3 victory at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Lastly, here's a look at what's coming up in the Kansas City Royals farm system. The AAA affiliate Omaha will wrap up its series against Indianapolis beginning at 5:05 Central Time. Storm Chasers and Indians underway from Warner Park in about an hour. At the AA level, they are still in a delay over at Arvest Ballpark. Northwest Arkansas and Tulsa were slated to get started at 2:05 Central, but it's now 3:53 Central, and there is still no news on a first pitch time there. So stick and stay with Sean Mernon. He'll keep you posted with all things Naturals as they hope to get their series finale in with Tulsa. And then at the single-A level, the Fireflies will wrap up their weekend, against the Cubs single-A affiliate, the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. That game comes your way in about 10 minutes from Segra Park. As I mentioned, next week, the River Bandits return to Modern Woodman Park. It's their first home game since the All-Star break. Tuesday, July 23rd, Quad Cities opens a six-game series against the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the high-A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. First pitch for that series opener, 6:30. Your River Bandits pregame show starts on the River Bandits Baseball Network at 6:20. Stick and stay with riverbandits.com for the latest probable pitcher updates. And of course, head over to riverbandits.com to purchase your tickets for this six-game homestand, and also check out the full promotional calendar. All sorts of good stuff coming your way next week from the best minor league ballpark in America. With the win today, Quad Cities improves to 41-48 overall this season. They are now 11-13 in the second half and 22-26 away from Davenport. For the South Bend Cubs, they've lost back-to-back ball games to fall to 34-56 overall, 7-17 in the second half, and 18-24 at Four Winds Field. Well, that'll do it for our broadcast this week. My name's Kyle Kercheval. Wherever you tuned in from, thanks so much for joining us this weekend and, of course, on this Sunday afternoon, a beautiful Sunday afternoon at Four Winds Field, and it winds up a beautiful victory for the Quad Cities River Bandits. 12-2 the final. They take 2 out of 3 games in their final series of the season against the Chicago affiliate. Looking forward to chatting with you next week. The Bandits taking on the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Game 1 of a 6-game series next Tuesday, beginning at 6:30 from Modern Woodman Park. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next time. So long, and good night from South Bend.